Alice Wynn Symphony. I'm Kevin O'Connor. Thanks for your company. Do appreciate it. It's Your Classical.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. Welcome, everyone, to another installment of Radio Vault. We rack our brains every week to come up with some entertainment for you. We're going to kick it off in just a moment with an episode of Jack Benny from 1945. George Burns and Gracie Allen are the hosts, or the guests, rather. And Gracie makes a futile attempt to tune into the Jack Benny program. The show from 1947. Also on today's menu, we have got Fibber McGee and Molly. Fibber makes an attempt to quote-unquote tune the piano, not really too successful. For our middle show today, for hour number two, it's the Lux Radio Theater. Frank Sinatra is the guest, and Wake Up and Live, that was a movie that happened back in 1944 that Frank Sinatra starred in. And then if that wasn't enough, we have a Bob Hope show with Frank Sinatra as guest. And we're going to wrap it with a show that I don't play too often, intentionally, I might add, Archie Andrews attempting to go on a picnic. And you will hear why. It's not one of my favorite shows, but it fits in, okay? Because it's that time of year. Once again, it's Radio Vault here until 1 o'clock. So if you're ready, I think I'm ready. Let's go back now to January 12th. Of 1947.
The Jack Benny Program.
Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Gentlemen, again, it's Sunday, so let's go out to Beverly Hills to Jack. Wait a minute. Every week it's the same thing. Let's go out to Beverly Hills to Jack Benny's house. Why don't we go to somebody else's house for a change? Yes, why not? Let's go out to the home of George Burns and Gracie Allen.
What are you doing?
Oh, nothing, Gracie. Just reading a book.
Oh.
The man she was with tried to stop her, but she pushed him aside and staggered across the floor.
George, if you're going to sit there reading a book, why don't you take off your shirt?
Take off my shirt?
Yeah. It's so thrilling the way your muscles bulge when you turn a page.
see, my muscles don't bulge, and let me read.
The man she was with tried to stop her, but she...
George, is today Sunday?
Yes, yes. The man she was with tried to stop
her. I'm glad it is, because on Sunday, Jack Benny's on the air, and I wouldn't miss his program for the world.
Well, he's on right now. You want to hear him, turn on the radio.
Jack Benny is wonderful. I think he's even funnier than Gene Herschel's.
Gracie, he's on right now.
Gene Herschel?
No, Jack Benny.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't miss him for the world. You know, George, if Sunday came around and I didn't listen to Jack Benny's program, I'd kill myself.
Gracie, turn on the radio. You can hear him.
But if I killed myself, I wouldn't be able to hear the program next Sunday. And the program next Sunday would probably be better than the program I killed myself over. So that's why I make it a point never to miss Jack Benny.
Okay, I'll turn it on for you.
Oh, George, isn't that wonderful?
What's wonderful?
The way your muscles bulge when you turn the dial.
Gracie.
Take off your shirt.
Gracie, will you please keep quiet so I can get Jack Benny's program?
And, Don, when I walk into the library and I said to Rochester, what are you doing with those goldfish in your hand? What do you think he said to me?
I don't know, Jack. What did he say?
Well, Rochester looked right in my face and said...
Gracie, why did you turn off Jack's program?
Well, I wanted to tell you that if you hadn't reminded me that today was Sunday, I would have missed him.
Look, Gracie, you could have found that out for yourself. All you had to do was go out in the kitchen and look at the calendar. The red numbers are Sundays.
But, George, on our calendar, all the numbers are red.
What?
It's all in a bowl of ketchup.
Well, Gracie, go back into the kitchen, take the calendar out of the ketchup, and wipe it off.
It's too late. You ate it for lunch.
I did?
Well, yeah, George Burns, why didn't you tell me you like calendars?
I love them. I love them. Now, Gracie, turn on the radio.
You turn it on.
Gracie, you're the one who wouldn't miss Jack Benny for the world. You turn it on.
You just want to see my muscles bulge.
Yes, yes. I want to see your muscles, boss.
All right. But I'm not going to take my shirt off.
Okay, I'll turn it on.
No kidding, Jackson. Did that really happen?
Sure, Phil. And when a man got back on his horse, he said... he said, that's why umbrellas have ribs in them. I thought it was funny.
Don't be discouraged, Jack. I thought it was funny, too.
Gracie, stop talking to the radio. Gracie, why did you turn it off?
You were talking to me.
I said, stop talking to the radio. How do you know the joke was funny? You didn't hear the beginning of it. All you heard was the answer.
Well, that's the only part you're supposed to laugh at. Oh, George, you're just jealous because he's so sophisticated and charming.
Jack Benny?
No, Gene Herschel.
Gene Herschel? Where did he come from?
Denmark. Everybody knows that.
Look, if you wouldn't miss Jack Benny for the world, why don't you keep listening? Instead of turning him on and off and on and off and on and off.
Oh, George, you're cute. Say that again.
Yeah, cute. Makes my Adam's apple do tricks, huh?
No. It makes your pivot tooth spin around and fan me.
Look, Gracie.
Hey, quiet, George. I want to listen to Jack Benny.
But, Don, you really ought to do something about your weight.
Oh, Jack, I'm not so fat. I went on a diet and lost 10 pounds.
10 pounds? Don, 10 pounds off of you is like taking one bucket of smog out of Los Angeles.
The end of the joke.
That was the end of it.
Don, when I first hired you 13 years ago, you were thin. And that's the reason I
can't understand you,
because
George.
I wanted
every
a thin
time
announcer.
Jack Benny comes on the air, he starts talking.
I'm not talking. You're the one who wanted to hear him, and you keep on talking.
There you go again.
Came up
you know
said,
I wouldn't miss him for
all right,
the world.
Fellas, come on,
I think Jack Benny's the funniest comedian on the
radio. Lady, if you don't want to listen, I'm going to shut it off.
George Burns. Why did you turn off the radio?
Because I want to read my book. I just bought it. It's The Razor's Edge.
Well, why buy it? You could read it in any barbershop for nothing.
Yes. I never thought of that. Tomorrow, I think I'll go down to the vegetable market and read Strange Fruit.
Strange Fruit? We have that book right here.
In the library?
No, it would spoil. It's in the icebox.
I know. Gene Herschel wrote it. Know him very well. Now, go in the next room and listen to Jack Benny.
You bet I will. And I hope he has better luck than he had last week.
What do you mean?
Well, last week he was expecting Lauren Bacall to be his guest star, and she didn't show up.
Oh, yes, that's right. Gracie, will you please let me read my book?
George, there's only one thing to do. If Jack wanted Lauren Bacall in his program and couldn't have her, well, he can have me. I'll go over to his studio right now, and I'll be Lauren Bacall. George, get your hat.
But, Gracie...
George, get your hat.
Gracie, you can't be Lauren Bacall.
Is Lauren pretty?
Of course she is.
Has she got that come-and-kiss-me big boy look in her eyes?
Of course she has.
Is she exotic, alluring, and irresistible?
Of course she is.
George, get your hat.
Was the best man played by Phil Harris and his 18 bridesmaids. And now,
hey,
ladies
Jackson,
and gentlemen...
Just once when I finish a number, can't you say something nice? Not about the music, just about the boys. You'd have to make that crack about the bridesmaids.
Phil, when 18 men come to a broadcast wearing nightgowns, it calls for a comment. Believe me.
Them ain't nightgowns.
Oh, them ain't, huh? Phil, it's not them ain't. It's they aren't.
Well. Get a load of my little boss. He's gone crepe Suzette.
Phil, you don't even know what a crepe Suzette is.
It's a Pasadena tortilla.
Well, Phil, for once you're right.
Sure I'm right. Everybody ain't as stupid as you are.
Stupid? Well. That's a fine thing to say about me, Phil. After all I've done for you.
What did you ever do for me?
What did I do for you, Phil? 11 years ago, I happened to be in Memphis, Tennessee, and I dragged you out of a bar, brought you out to Hollywood, put shoes on you, stood you in front of 18 musicians, put a stick in your hand, and because you already had the shakes, you thought you were leading them. As a hint for you to wash your hair, somebody put you on a shampoo program. What did I ever do for you?
So what?
So what? Phil, when I picked you up, you didn't even have a ham hock to your name. That's so what.
Look, Jackson, this may surprise you, but I had one of the greatest orchestras in the country before I ever heard of you.
You had a great orchestra.
I'll say I did. I was the leader, and I had a man at the piano by the name of Viterbi.
What?
My first fiddle was a guy by the name of Heifetz. Toscanini made my arrangements. Stokowski played the clarinet, and I had a dame singing the blues by the name of Lily Palm.
Well, you really had some great musicians. How come you got rid of them?
They couldn't play poker.
Oh, sure. I can just picture all those people being in your band.
Just talking about, we had a great orchestra. Why, we had one didn't do anything but touch off the piano.
Who was that?
Lady Esther.
Phil, why don't you go down to Grauman's Chinese and put your head in the cement? And keep it there. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello. Hello, Dennis. Where have you been?
Oh, I was over at the drugstore having a drink. I had a tomato ice cream soda.
A what?
A tomato ice cream soda.
A tomato ice cream soda?
Uh-huh.
Well, it tastes awful. What's in it?
Two scoops of vanilla ice cream, some chocolate syrup, carbonated water, and a cherry.
Well, what about the tomato?
She waited on me.
I see, kid. You're making up a little joke.
Yeah, I make up jokes all the time.
I know. Now, come on, Dennis. Let's have your song.
You're not the only comedian in the world, you know.
Dennis, I never said I was. I mean, Edgar Bergen, Bob Hope, Jack Haley, Eddie Cantor.
And Gene Herschel.
Dennis, Gene Herschel isn't a comedian. He's on the radio as Dr. Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Christian, come down.
Dennis.
Dr. Christian, I'll see you swinging from the highest yardarm in the British...
Now, cut that out!
I'm glad you stopped me. I was getting seasick.
Now, come on, Dennis. Let's have your song.
Okay.
Jack, before Dennis' song, how about the commercial?
Oh, yes. Sorry, Don, the commercial.
I have the quartet right here.
Don, last week the quartet didn't show up, and we got along very well without them. And I think we can get along without them this week, too.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Jack. You pay the sportsman $500 a week, don't you?
Yes.
Well, Jack, they took the whole $500 and spent it on this week's arrangement.
They spent their whole salary? Gee. Fellas, what do you live on? From the looks on the one on the end, it must be fattening. Well, all right, Don. If they're that sincere about it, I'll listen to it this time. But I'm warning you. Now, Don, I'm warning you. This time, it better be good.
I'll say it's good. All right, fellas, the Anvil Chorus.
Wait a minute.
Boys.
Don, Mr. Wilson. Mount Wilson. Don, is this the arrangement they spent $500 for?
Yes, the anvil cost them
$300. Well, tell them to take their anvil and get out of here. Now, come on, fellas. Out, out, out. See? Dennis, that was last week. Now, come on, let's have your song.
Okay.
that was... That was "You'll Always Be the One I Love" by Ticker Freeman. And sung by Dennis Day. And it was really swell, Dennis. It couldn't have been sung better. And now...
What's wrong with Dick Hames?
What? There's nothing wrong with Dick Hames. I merely said that you sing beautifully.
I suppose Andy Russell is bad, huh?
Dennis, look, Andy Russell is fine, and so is Dick Hames. They're both great singers. And now...
Bing Crosby ought to punch you right in the nose.
Dennis, be quiet. Now, sit down. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our... Oh, darn it, more interruptions. Phil, answer the phone for me, will you, please?
You answer it, Jackson. It might be a collect call, and I love to see your skin roll up.
Don't be so smart. Don, will you answer the phone, please?
Oh, I'm checking over the closing commercial. Dennis, will you answer the phone for Jack?
Let Gene Herschel do it.
Dennis! Now, stop being so... Oh, never mind. I'll answer. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Rochester, what do you want?
The dry cleaner is here. Are there any suits you'd like to have cleaned or pressed?
Yes. Now, let me see.
How about your blue double-breasted one, boss?
I'm wearing that. Give him my gray gabardine.
I'm wearing that.
Well, look, Rochester, have him press my tan suit.
But, boss, you only wore that suit once. That was last week when you were rehearsing with Miss Lauren Bacall.
I know. She steamed the crease out of it. Look, Rochester, have him press that suit and tell him to let the pants out 2 inches.
Better let out more than that, boss.
No, Ron, the pants aren't that tight.
They're not. Remember what happened last week when you bent over?
Rochester.
If UCLA could have broke through like you did, they'd have won the game.
Well, okay. Give him my full dress suit, too.
Your full dress suit?
Yes, I may as well have it cleaned and pressed for the Academy Award dinner.
Boss, for what you're going to get, you could go in a T-shirt.
Look, Rochester, I'm not expecting an award this year. After all, I didn't make a picture.
Maybe they'll give you an award for that.
Oh, stop, and just give my suits to the cleaner. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, boss.
Now what?
Can I have Tuesday afternoon off? I want to go to the races at Santa Anita.
But, Rochester, I thought on New Year's Day you made a resolution not to go to the races.
I didn't go on New Year's Day.
No.
Anyway, the reason I want to go Tuesday is because I got tips on 2 wonderful horses, Texas Sandman and Namby Pass.
Oh, are they good horses?
Well, Texas Sandman is by Shifting Sands out of Swamp Queen.
Uh-huh.
And Namby Pass is by Bypass out of Sweet Nancy.
Well, all right, Rochester, you can go, but you can't use my car this time. Take a yellow cab.
A yellow cab?
Yeah, that's by Rapid Transit out of General Motors. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Can't understand Rochester. He makes a New Year's resolution not to go to the races and then breaks it.
Say, Jackson, I was at the races yesterday, and I bet on a horse called Fit Shampoo.
Fit Shampoo?
Yeah, the dandruff came off him so fast, the other horses thought they were snowbound and froze to death. Oh, Harris, when you come home, Alice must think she's in Wonderland. W.
Look, Wanga, Phil.
Hey, Mr. Benny.
What?
I once bet on a horse named Colgate.
Dennis, let it go, will you?
He came in first and I got my own show. Oh, Dennis, when you come home, your mother must think she's in a nut house.
At least that makes sense there. Now, kids, let's not hold up the show anymore because our sketch tonight is very... Come in. Hello, Jack. Huh?
Hello, big boy. Your worries are over. Baby is here.
Why, George. Gracie, what's this?
Don't be bashful, Blue Eyes. If you want anything, whistle.
What?
You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and blow.
Gracie, what?
Jack, I'm sorry for this.
Oh.
But Gracie heard how you didn't get to kiss Lauren Bacall last week, and now she wants to be Lauren Bacall.
You keep out of this, Humphrey. Now, how about us, kiddo? You'll find this fascinating, so let's fast.
But Gracie, I...
Wow, that's the kind of a woman I could go for.
Say, you're kind of cute, Sonny, but you're too young.
Maybe, but I'm plenty hip.
Oh. I suppose your father told you how the bees carry pollen from flower to flower on their feet?
Yes, he did.
Well, I'd advise you to forget that. I tried it, and believe me, it's nothing.
Look, Gracie, I know you meant well in coming over, but I'm trying to do a program.
That's right, Gracie. You're embarrassing Jack trying to kiss him. Let's go home.
With dry lips? Not on your life.
Look, Grace, if you really want to be kissed, why don't you forget about Jackson and grab yourself a hunk of glamour like me?
Take it easy, Curly. Take it easy. There's plenty to go around.
For goodness sake, Gracie, do you know what you're saying?
No, but I love it. Now, come on, Jackson.
Now, Gracie, you're holding up my program. Anyway, I can't kiss you right under George's nose.
You can, but you won't like it that way.
Gracie, stop all this nonsense and let's go home.
No, George, we can't go now. Lauren Bacall disappointed him, and I'm not going to let him be disappointed again.
But Gracie.
Kiss me,
Gracie. Gracie, where are you going? Gracie. Stop kissing. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wow, what a kiss. My hair's standing on end.
Yeah, it slipped a little to the side, too.
What? Gracie, you ruined my whole radio program.
Radio program? George, let's hurry home.
Why?
Well, Jack Benny's on the air, and I wouldn't miss him for the world.
Yeah, if we hurry, we can catch the tobacco auctioneer.
Good night.
Gentlemen, because the majority of America's hospitals are understaffed, once again an urgent appeal is being made for student nurses. In order to meet this acute need, all young women between the ages of 17 and 35 who are high school or college graduates are urged to apply to their nearest hospital or school of nursing. And now, Jack will be back in just a minute, but first...
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank George and Gracie, who appeared on our program tonight through the courtesy of Maxwell House Coffee. I also want to thank Gene Hirschhold, who was here in spirit. And he's cheaper that way. Good night, folks.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting...
The 16th annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, September 20th. If you're looking to sell records, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, VHS, or other music swag, WHFR is now accepting vendor applications. For dealer information, please visit our website, www.whfr.fm/recordshow. That's www.whfr.fm/recordshow. We look forward to working with you at the 16th Annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, September 20th.
Join me, BC, host of The Other Side, every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. You'll hear great alternative, independent, and local rock and roll, mixed in with deep cuts from classic artists. I hope to see you on The Other Side this Tuesday at 1 p.m., only on WHFR Dearborn, a station that is making waves.
Hello.
All right, you are listening to Radio Vault on 89.3 WHFR. Making the waves, as we always do. Gracie Allen was kind of kooky on that last show from January 12, 47. In just a matter of moments, we will take a listen to Fibber McGee and Molly from February 13, 1945. And then following that, for next hour, it's Lux Radio Theater starring Frank Sinatra. So if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's go and turn the hands back, the hands of time back on our radio time machine.
Advertisers have invented a lot of new diseases in our time. Dishpan digits, 5 o'clock fuss-puss, and pipe smoker's gurgle, to name a few. But what a wife dreads to see dawning in her husband's eyes is what is known as tool chest gleam. That means the old boy is going to fix something. Like right now, with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Let me see. I got my wrench, my hacksaw, my hammer, my friction tape. What else do I need? Maybe a pair of pliers.
Sweetheart.
Oh, I got pliers. Folding ruler.
Darling.
Shucks, there's something missing. What is it? My crowbar? No.
McGee.
Huh?
Look, lover. Look. We've been very happy all these years.
Yes?
I've tried to be a good wife to you. You've been a good husband to me.
Oh, sure.
We love our little home. At the risk of destroying all we've built up together, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes?
One little question. What are you gonna fix?
I'm gonna tune the piano.
Tune the piano? McGee, no, please, not that.
Now, keep your eyebrows down, baby. Everything's under control. I'll soon have that three-legged harpsichord tunes up so sweet, you can play the Moonlight Sonata with your mittens on. Yeah.
But, McGee, you don't know anything about tuning a piano.
Oh, no?
I've told you 100 times. If it needs tuning, get Mr. Highmiller, the piano tuner.
What do you mean, if it needs tuning? Why, that jangle box has got enough flats in it to solve the housing shortage.
Well, then call Mr. Highmiller.
That's not necessary. I've watched old Highmiller tune this thing a dozen times. There's nothing to it. Just turn the knob till it sounds okay. And with this pitch pipe, I can't miss.
Well, you win. Go ahead and tune the piano. We can always fill it full of dirt and plant nasturtiums in it.
You wait, Snooky. When I get through, this thing will sound sweeter than a new retread on a wet pavement. And if you don't think it needs tuning, listen to this.
Now try it without that cigar in your hand. I was wrong. Sounds better with the cigar.
I think it's full of sand, for one thing. I heard Beulah playing the desert song on it all morning. Well, I'll soon have her in shape. Wait till I take the lid off and get a gander at the insides. Oh, my gosh. No wonder.
What's the matter?
Look, here's that briefcase I lost last summer. And this piano. Why, look at it. The strings are all different lengths. Oh, boy, did we get gypped when we bought this thing.
We didn't buy it.
Didn't buy it? Where'd we get it?
You won it.
Huh?
Sure. You found out the most faces in the leaves of the tree in the advertisement. And you won the piano's first prize.
I wish now I'd taken the Shetland pony.
Well, I did at the time. We had to pay $312 express on the piano when they sent it.
Well, I'll fool them. They didn't realize they were sending this thing to a born little piano tuner. Now, let me see. Where's my pitch pipe? Ah, here. That's a perfect 440G, you see.
That's A, dearie.
What did I say, G?
Yeah.
I meant A. Now all I gotta do is sound A on the piano and see if it's the same. Ah, wow. Is this thing off key?
You're not sounding the A.
Why, I am, too. A's the first letter in the alphabet, isn't it? I'm sounding the first note on the piano. Got to be A.
Well, you're right, it is. Hmm? But I must say, you can get more right answers by the wrong methods than anyone I know.
Oh, brother. There's sure a lot of work to be done on this.
Look, McGee, are you familiar with the musical scale?
Well, Natch. Every school kid knows that. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Ah, what a musician was lost in you.
Betcha.
And I hope they never find him. What are you looking for?
Something to hold the strings apart while I tune the others. That's the way Highmiller does it. Something I can wedge it. Oh, I know. That trick can opener we got. Oh, that'll do it. Where's that can? Oh, hey, Beulah. Oh, Beulah.
Somebody ball for Beulah?
Yes, Beulah, Mr. McGee is going to tune the piano, and he needs that fancy can opener of ours.
Mm-hmm. Imagine you being able to tune a piano. Mm-hmm. You got more talent.
Just takes a little dexterity, Beulah, and a good ear for music.
Oh, you really have that, too, dearie.
Mm-hmm.
The way you sing Don't Fence Me In makes me think immediately of barbed wire.
I come from a musical family myself, ma'am.
Really?
Yeah. Papa, he's hot in a dime store frying pan on a guitar. And Mama play real New Orleans piano.
Yeah.
And my little brother, The way that boy play a tailgate trombone make Tommy Dorsey start looking for work.
How about you, Beulah? Didn't I hear you playing the piano in here this morning?
Yes, I reckon you did.
Mm-hmm.
My training's all been on the pipe organ. But now and then I go slumming on a piano.
Do you sing too, Beulah?
Yes, ma'am. Mezzo soprano. On the blue side. Picked up a pretty penny singing in a nightclub once.
What'd you do with it?
Throw it right back to the man that flung it.
Good for you, Beulah. That was very insulting.
That's what I say, ma'am. I throw it back to the man and I say, Mister, I say, there's only one animal I know who can throw a scent that far, and you is one of them.
And your mother still plays a hot piano, eh, Beulah?
Yeah, so she's 82 and stomping around like she only 40.
Ah, that's wonderful. How does she do it, Beulah?
Well, ma'am, Mama got a philosophy. Mm-hmm. When people ask how she keep going so good, she say, I stand easy, sit loose, and when trouble come, I go to sleep.
I never could do that, Beulah. I can stand easy and sit loose, but when trouble comes, I always run to meet it.
Yeah, when trouble comes, you always run to meet it. I love that man, and I bring you a can over right away.
Willie Mills playing I Won't Dance.
You know, Molly, tuning a piano isn't too tough once you get the hang of it.
Neither is lion taming, dearie.
Hmm?
Show me how you tune a piano. I'm full of morbid curiosity.
Oh, sure. Here, look over my shoulder. You see these little square knobs in here?
Yes.
You just put a wrench on one of those and twist it till the note sounds right. Like this. Too tight.
Keep that up, McGee, and all we'll be able to play on this is Silent Night. How many strings you broken so far?
Six, I think. No, seven. Old Highmiller never could have done any better than that.
He never did as well. He never broke any.
Well, he ain't as strong as I am. Oh, say, you play the piano. Maybe you can tell me something.
I could tell you any number of things, dearie, but the reason we've stayed married is because I didn't. What do you want to know?
About these 3-foot pedals on the piano down below there by the floor. I know the left one is the clutch and the right one is the brake. What's the middle one for?
Well, McGee, you got me.
Huh?
I've been playing the piano for 20 years, ever since I was 7 years old. And I don't know what that middle pedal is for.
Oh, well, don't matter. Now, let me see. This middle G is too sharp, remember. I gotta get there.
Hello, Mrs. McGee. Is Mr. Highmiller here? I thought I heard the piano tuner.
Himself hears the piano tuner, Alice.
Oh.
You play the piano, Alice?
Well, I took some lessons for a while, but I had a lot of trouble with the treble, and when it came to the bass, I never got to first. Can just anybody tune a piano, Mr. McGee?
No, I wouldn't say that, Alice. It takes a certain amount of musical knowledge.
Sure. He has quite a musical background behind him, Alice.
Mm-hmm.
He carried the front of the bass drum in the Peoria High School band.
Oh, I think it's so wonderful to know music. My uncle used to play in a symphony orchestra, the oboe.
How come they let a hobo play in a symphony orchestra?
She didn't say hobo, she said oboe.
Oh, an English hobo. Well, I still think...
No, Mr. McGee, an oboe is a musical instrument.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle used to say it was an ill woodwind that nobody blows good.
What was your uncle's name, Joe Miller?
You want to sit down with me here a while and watch him tune up, Alice? You and I and the piano might as well all get unstrung together.
No, thank you, Mrs. McGee. I've got to go downtown and make a donation.
Well, if it's a good cause, Alice, you might take my donation along, too.
Well, it would be a little difficult, Mr. McGee.
Why, Alice? Where are you going?
To the blood bank. Goodbye now.
Well... I must sound pretty professional at this, Molly, if Alice thought I was old Highmiller. Now, let me see. Where was I? Oh, yes, up here.
Ow! Hey, take that lid off my head.
Oh, dear.
Thanks.
There.
That's the fourth time that dead red thing has fallen on me.
You're really knocking yourself out on this job, aren't you? Maybe when you...
Hello, folks.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior.
What are you doing, pal? You gonna tune the piano? Sweet Genevieve, he is going to tune the piano. Look, pal, tuning a piano is no job for amateurs. Why don't you get High Miller to come over and do it?
Oh, High Miller. My gosh, is he the only guy in the world that can tune a piano?
There's no use arguing with him, Mr. Wilcox. Compared to him, a Missouri mule is a very weak character.
Yeah, but gee whiz, chum, tuning a piano is a pretty tricky job. This piano is a delicate instrument.
Correction, was a delicate instrument.
Okay, scoff if you want to deride. But by George, when I get through here, this thing is going to play the sweetest music this side of Lombardo. And are you inferring that I'm not capable of tuning this piano?
Did you ever tune a piano?
No.
That's all, brother. Goodbye.
Why, he was really serious about that, McGee.
Well, so what? I'm not the one to let a little minor criticism stop me. Hand me my pitch, will you?
Here.
Thanks. Used to use this for calling ducks, but all I ever got was sparrows. Now, where was I? Oh, that one needs loosening up. Hand me my wrench. Whoops! Turned it the wrong way.
Lost chord number 8. I'm afraid I can't stand this anymore, McGee. I'm going upstairs and change my clothes. Let me know when Dr. Gamble comes.
Doc Gamble? What's he coming here for?
He told me he'd give me a ride downtown on his way to the hospital. I gotta do some shopping. Try and save 1 or 2 piano strings. We can use them later to hang pictures.
Okay. Ah, there goes a good kid. What's stubborn? Piano has to be falling apart before she let me tune it. And she's probably right, too. Ah, see. Sure wish I knew what I was doing. I can work myself into more corners than a chain drugstore. Oh, well, might as well. Come in.
Hi, mister. What you doing? Watch you.
I'm tuning this piano, Teeny. There ain't a note on it that don't need 4 cosigners.
Oh? I didn't know you could tune a piano, mister.
You didn't know I could stand on one hand and juggle a lawnmower with my feet either, did you?
Can you?
I don't know. I never tried that either. Now, sit down and keep quiet, sis. This is a delicate job, and I can't have any distractions.
Okay, but I just came over to ask a favor, mister. Can I?
May I?
May I what?
May you ask me a favor.
I guess I may if I can I?
Well, what is it?
I want to practice my piano lesson on your piano. My teacher says I simply gotta practice more.
You have, huh?
Hmm?
I says you have, eh?
Have what?
You gotta practice more.
That's just what my teacher said. Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't use this piano, sis. I'm working on it.
Let me try it, mister.
No.
Oh.
Look, sis, look, I hate to break up a fascinating concert like this, but I gotta finish tuning this.
Please, mister, if you do not appreciate good music, kindly refrain from talking so that others may enjoy it.
What others?
Me.
Hey. Cut it out, sis, cut it out.
Hmm?
I says that's enough. I got work to do here,
and
I can't...
You mean you're not going to let me practice?
Right.
You do not appreciate a little child's artistic efforts? Mm. I may not be a finished piano.
Now, you are on this piano, sis. Look, sis, I don't...
You're going to stifle my career? Stand in the way of my musical education?
No. I'm not standing in the way of anything. I just...
Are you against little children, mister? Don't you want little children to have a musical education?
Yes. Of course I do. I think music is swell for kids.
Okay,
but...
then.
Now, look, sis.
Hmm?
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a quarter for a soda if you'll go home and practice.
Okay, mister. Thanks. I'll get the soda, but I can't practice at home.
Why not?
My daddy gave me 50 cents to come over here and do it.
Hold on.
The King's Men sing Skip to Maloo.
Skip to Maloo, my darling. Cows in the corn, hear them moo. Rats in the barn, hear them chew. Don't give a darn. How about you? Skip to Maloo, my darling. Oh, ho, skip to Maloo. Ha, ha, skip to Maloo. Hey, hey, skip to Maloo. Skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo. Lost my partner, what'll I do? Lost my partner, what'll I do? Find your partner, anyone'll do. Skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo. Shoe is torn in two. Lost my sock and lost my shoe. Stop the fiddler, I'm all through. Skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo. Was a lady, Miss Louise O'Grady was her name. Your grandpa made her change. He thought he could retreat and rest his weary feet. But for 50 years, whenever she could arrange it, she made him skip, skip, skip to Maloo, skip, skip, skip to Maloo, skip, skip, skip to Maloo, skip to Maloo, my darling. Diamond rings, quite a few, limousines painted blue, mansions on the avenue, skip to Maloo, my darling. Wouldn't Grandpa really get a bang if he could do-si-do with a good old gang? Oh,
that one isn't so bad. A little flat, maybe. I'll give her a couple of twists just for safety.
McGee, have you nearly finished tuning the piano?
Almost. Tightening some of these upper strings, so... There goes another one. Hey, remind me next time I tune the piano to do it in the summertime, Molly. I think this cold weather makes the strings brittle.
It's a deal, dearie. It'll be a very hot day before I remind you to tune it again.
Thanks.
You're welcome. How does it sound now?
Oh, much better. Listen. There.
Oh, that must be Dr. Gamble. Come in. Hello, Doctor. I'm all ready.
Hello, Molly. Hello, Guppy.
Hi, skin grafter. On your way to scare some poor patient out of his wits with that solemn puss of yours?
For your information, Buster, the Gamble bedside manner is famous on two continents, America and Long Island. And if you... What goes on here, anyway? Got mice in the piano? Or breaking in a vaudeville act?
He's tuning it, Doctor, he claims.
And believe me, Doc, I know exactly how you felt the first time you peeked into a thorax. But there's one difference. This piano is going to live.
Baloney, if you'll pardon the colloquialism. This jukebox has got one foot in the junkyard already. Look at it. Keyboard all loose, lid on the floor, sounding board across the room, strings all over the place. Why, well, you bonehead, there isn't a whole string left on it.
Oh, no. Well, how about this one right here? Whoops!
Hey, I wonder what we can do with the piano when they all break. It's a little big for a paperweight and too small for a guest house.
Molly, this man is going to set music back 500 years. We'll all be dancing around in our bare feet playing flutes. Now look, maestro, when you get through with this job, will you stop over at my house and give me a hand?
Your piano need tuning, Doctor?
No, but I have a bagpipe that's a little short-winded. Breezy here can blow it up for the next 6 months with 5 minutes conversation. Come on, Molly.
So long, Chubby. Good day, Tummy Thumper. Now hurry home, Molly.
I will.
Now I can work in peace. I'll see. Where was I? Oh, yes. I was working up here on the treble clef.
for bringing me home, Doctor. Sorry you can't come in for dinner.
Okay, Molly. I'm sorry, too. I'll see you both later.
Oh, dear, I'm almost afraid to look in the...
Molly, is that you?
Yes, dearie. Is everything all right?
Don't come in yet. I didn't expect you so soon. I got a little surprise for... Okay, come on in.
What is it, dearie?
Oh, nothing, really. I just wanted to get the top back on the piano and get it dusted off. All set, that's all.
The piano?
Yep.
McGee, does... did you... Is it...
Like I said, all tuned. As soon as you hang up your coat and hat, you might come on back downstairs and try it out.
As soon as I hang up my... I'll try it now. This very minute. And do I dread it? Why, McGee, that's wonderful.
Oh, shucks. It's, well, people do it every day. Takes a little time, but...
Oh, it's wonderful, dearie. Sounds like a baby grand. Oh, it is a baby grand, isn't it? Oh, but it's going to be a pleasure to play this now. I can hardly wait to get at it. Wait till I run upstairs and hang up my coat. I certainly apologize, dearie, for everything I said. You're the most wonderful man.
Phew. Oh, boy, that was a close call. Hey, Hi, Miller. You can come out now. Hurry up.
I ought to charge you an extra $5 for sitting behind that Davenport, McGee. I got a crick in my neck.
Shh. Pipe down, Heimiller, will you? And get out of here. You better go out the back way, so... No. Not that door. No, that's the hall clock.
Oh, I'm sorry, McGee. I didn't realize it.
Huh? Now beat it, will you, Heimiller? Quick, now get out that way. Send me the bill, and much obliged. Phew. Oh, well. Looks like I got away with it.
What are you staring into space like that for?
I was just trying to think of something I forgot. Now, what was that?
I know. You were going to say goodnight to our friends in the armed forces of the United Nations.
That's it. Good night.
Good night, all.
Thank you.
Joe Wilcox speaking. This rebroadcast of the Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show is a presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
The 16th Annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, September 20th. If you're looking to sell records, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, VHS, or other music swag, WHFR is now accepting vendor applications. For dealer information, please visit our website, www.whfr.fm/recordshow. That's www.whfr.fm/recordshow. We look forward to working with you at the 16th Annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, September 20th.
Pull up a coffin and tune into The Crypt on WHFR.fm 89.3 every other Tuesday from 4 to 6 p.m. The Crypt, digging up the gravest mix of doom, gloom, death, punk, horror, and Halloween on the only station making waves, WHFR, Dearborn.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported non-commercial radio featuring local and independent artists.
Lux presents Hollywood. The Lux Radio Theater brings you Frank Sinatra in Wake Up and Live, with Bob Crosby, Jimmy Gleason, Marilyn Maxwell, and James Dunn. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. There's a pot of gold at the end of the Hollywood rainbow for the right answer to the question, what makes a star? Nobody has found out yet, and I don't think they ever will. No two stars are alike, but each has a certain indefinable power, a power that draws people like a magnet draws bits of metal. I watched that power at work for 50 years, in a lovely face, in a pair of dancing feet, in a voice. And it has come again this year in the voice of Frank Sinatra. When a star is born overnight, there are always the cynics who say, he won't last. But he will last if that mysterious power is there. And it is my belief that in Frank's case, it is there. For his first appearance in the dramatic end of radio, we picked a delightful comedy that made a hit on the screen for 20th Century Fox. It's Wake Up and Live. And assisting Frank to wake up and live is a quartet of people from the screen and radio. Bob Crosby, Jimmy Gleason, Marilyn Maxwell, and James Dunn. Every week, our job is just a little bit different. A new adventure for you and for us. But I can say curtain in Chinese. Nianza. And it's going up now on the first act of Wake Up and Live, starring Frank Sinatra as Eddie, with Jimmy Gleason as Marty Hackett, Bob Crosby as Charlie Standish, Marilyn Maxwell as Alice Huntley, and James Dunn as Steve. Anybody who reads a newspaper or listens to the radio knows Marty Hackett. Marty is easily the nation's foremost gossiper and authority in general on the private lives of our prominent people. A harsh word from Marty is as lethal as a blockbuster. A kind word, like money in the bank. Millions read his column, and millions more listen to him on the radio, where right now he is concluding his daily broadcast with, of course, the usual daily poke at his friend, Charlie Standish.
The main reason why Charlie Standish, the alleged orchestra leader, can never be president is that his head is too big to put on a 3-cent stamp. How you feeling, Charlie? And now, ladies and gentlemen, until tomorrow night, at the very same time, this is Marty Hackett reminding you that a real friend is one who walks in when everybody else walks out. Good night.
Marty Hackett has come to you through the courtesy of Bleeker's Lumpless Oatmeal. This is the General Broadcasting Company. Okay, Marty, you're off the air.
Nice going, boss.
Thanks, Dave. Oh, a telegram for me, Patsy?
Uh-uh. One for me for change.
Who from? Let's see.
It's personal. Oh, well, here.
Tell Hackett that Kane and Roberts, America's cleverest vaudeville team, arrive in New York tomorrow on the Wolverine and will be open to radio office. Love, Eddie. Love, Eddie?
Uh-huh.
Looks like you've got some competition here, Steve.
Come on, sister. Who's Eddie?
Eddie's my brother, sweetheart.
Oh.
He and some girl have been doing a small-time vaudeville act.
Any good?
I don't know. I haven't seen Eddie in 4 years, but it looks like my luck's changing.
Say, Patsy.
Yeah?
That telegram. What do you say we give your little brother a break?
You mean a plug in the column?
That's right.
But, Marty, it... Well, thanks, but really, Eddie's strictly small-time.
So I gather. And every smart, honest agent in town will know that.
I don't get it.
But the phonies, they'll read and believe.
Oh, I see.
Some of those wise guy agents have gotten away with murder, and here's my chance to teach them a lesson. Just relax, Patsy, and watch those 10%ers fight for the chance to put Kane and Roberts to work.
Patsy.
Hi.
Well, sis, aren't you glad to see me?
So you've really come to pay back that 20 bucks you borrowed 4 half a years ago.
Same old Patsy, always kidding. But I might surprise you, sis.
Believe me.
Say, guess who we just got for an agent, Patsy? Gus Avery.
Oh, that chiseler. Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
My brother Eddie. Steve Klusky, the boyfriend.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Steve.
Why?
Don't mind him. He's always that way, Eddie, except when he's grouchy.
Gee, sis, that was a swell plug you got us in Hackett's column.
Marty ran that himself, Eddie. A gag on those agents.
Yeah, you should have seen what happened at the station. 14 agents knocking themselves out for a privilege of handling us.
And you picked Gus Avery.
It's none of my business, kid, but that Avery's so two-faced, the barber's got to shave him twice.
Incidentally, what brought you here? I told you to come up to the apartment.
Well, this is the General Broadcasting Company, isn't it? And Avery's got us an audition. I thought maybe you could show me the audition room. I tried to find it, but I guess I got lost.
Not a bad idea, either. Well, come along. Take sister's hand. Good, Eddie. The audition's in there.
Say, how did you know?
Isn't that Avery inside? I just followed my nose.
Oh.
And who's Miss America with him?
That's her, Patsy. That's my partner, Jean.
Holding hands already with Avery.
Oh, he's just probably trying to give her confidence.
In the audition or in him? Well, good luck, Eddie. See you later.
Thanks. Hiya, Jean. Hello, Mr. Avery.
Hiya.
See, I'm going to like it here fine.
Oh, wait till after the audition before you send out your laundry.
Sit down, relax. Here, shake hands with Herb Spencer. You play the piano for Jean. And you?
How do you do, Mr. Spencer?
How are you?
Say, Mr. Avery, do we do it in here, in this room?
Get smart, will you? This is just a waiting room. There's the studio there, see? Just look through that window there.
Oh. Say, who's that in there?
Madame Alvani. She's going to audition, too.
But she's an opera singer. We can't sing opera.
Neither can she, so don't worry.
Quiet. Ready to start.
But I cannot do it. I cannot do it.
Bunny, darling, it is so simple. You just sing.
Water. Get me some water. Then maybe I'll try again.
Hey, what's the matter with her?
Just Mike, Brian.
Imagine anybody being scared of a little gadget like that.
Pipe down. Get a load of Madame.
It is no use. I go home. Just try. Try. There is nothing to be afraid of. Pretend you're at Lascaux. Now, come, darling. Give out. Give out. Hey, the family of Bella. Come, children, my friend. The man of the sea. My friend.
Hey, look. Madam's folded up.
Oh, Madame. Madame.
Turn off the speaker, Jeannie.
Right.
Now, you're next, kids. Hey, what's the matter with you?
Me? Oh, nothing at all.
There goes Alvani, carrying her out.
Yeah, just like first aid.
What are you turning green for? Now get over there to the piano. I'll speak to the boys in the control room. You hear, Ralph?
Okay, we're all set in here. Start whenever you're ready.
How do you kids want this thing played?
On the piano. four-bar introduction and then two choruses. Can we start, Gus?
Right.
Come on, will you sing?
I can't.
Herb, do you mind starting again? I'm awfully sorry. Got the pages mixed. Come on, jerk. Snap out of it.
Oh, I'm fine now.
I don't want to walk without you.
Stop it. You jellyfish, you sap. Ruining my act while
get
you couldn't
here.
Sing
get
it.
Get out.
Huh? Oh.
Sorry, Ralph, you never know. Hey, Herb, get some water for the bum. He's unconscious.
Yeah? How can you tell?
And now a few notes from my old music book. Charlie Standish is now at the Hi-Hat Club packing them in. Tune him in nightly at 9 o'clock or be smart and just go to bed. Attention, booking agents. A few days ago, I ran an item about Kane and Roberts and did you fall for it. Mr. Gus Avery, a 10% over the heart of the same proof... But they got Kane and Robertson audition. But Kane was not able. And Avery gave Eddie the air. Meantime, he signed up Eddie's pretty partner, Gene Roberts, who was now threshing at the Golden Arrow in Long Island. And Eddie Kane, the crooner, who couldn't, is a tourist guide at the studio at General Broadcasting.
Turn that off.
Oh,
attention,
yes, sir.
Clinton, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Those of you who are interested in final word on...
Kane, you're a disgrace to the Guide Corps. Just because Marty Hackler got you this job, that doesn't mean you can sneak in here and listen to programs when you should be working.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. In the future, I promise to do everything in my power to be worthy of the uniform that is my privilege to wear, sir.
Stay to see that you do.
Yes, sir.
What post are you supposed to be at right now?
The Alice Huntley Wake Up and Live program,
sir. Well, get going, Kane. Scram.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Eddie.
Oh, hello, Mr. Standish. Well, you got any more gags I can use? Yeah, but let's kind of hide in the corner. See, if they catch me, I could lose my job.
What have they got you doing?
Same thing, showing people around the studios. I just came from the Wake Up and Live show. Gee, that Alice Huntley. See, I was just on my way to see her, if she let me.
Oh, forget Alice Huntley and tell me what gags you got.
Well, here's one. The National Marty Hackett Fan Club will hold a bridge tournament tonight if the three of them can find a fourth. How's that?
Oh, that's terrific. Sold. Here you are, kid. $10.
Gee, thanks.
You got any more?
Yeah, listen to this one. The vegetarians refuse to listen in to Marty Hackett anymore.
Why?
Too much ham.
Oh, I'm not too sure about that one, Eddie. Wait a minute. I'll try it out on that guy over here.
Yeah, try it out on him.
I say there, my good fellow.
Who, me?
Yeah, do me a favor, will you?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, listen to this joke and tell me if you think it's funny.
Oh, shoot.
The vegetarians refuse to listen in to Marty Hackett anymore.
Yeah, why?
Too much ham. Okay, Eddie, I guess it's worth another $5.
Thanks, Mr. Standish.
Well, that's nice going. Say, if you get any sudden ideas, you phone me at the Hi-Hat. I'll be there in about 10 minutes.
Okay, I will.
All right, come across.
Here you are. Here's your $2.
What about tomorrow? You want my brother should come in and laugh tomorrow?
Yeah, same time, same station.
Wake up and live, lady luck is yawning. Up on your toes, a better day is dawning. Don't let up, get up and give. Give yourself a shake up, mister, wake up and live.
Well, George, how'd we do today?
Went fine, Miss Huntley. Oh, incidentally.
Yes?
You're all through the studio, aren't you?
Oh, yes. And I'll only be a minute more here in the dressing room. Why?
Well, in 5 minutes, we pick up Charlie Standish from the Hi-Hat Club. As soon as his show's over, we have a cut-in announcement from this studio. So I'm leaving the mic on, save having to warm it up again later.
Be a fine thing if someone should walk in and start talking in something. He'd find himself on the air.
Yeah, accompanied by Charlie Standish's band. Well, there's no danger of that, Miss Huntley. I'm going to lock the door right now. Well, see you tomorrow.
Right. Thanks again.
Miss Huntley.
Oh, hello.
I'm Eddie Kane. I work here.
Yes, I know. I saw you before, guiding those people around.
Yeah. I always hear your broadcast, and I think you're swell. I mean, your programs.
Well, thank you. What can I do for you?
Oh, lots. I mean, wake up and live. Like you say in your program, I thought maybe you could wake me up.
Oh? Well, what is it you want to do?
Get over my mic fright. I'd like to sing in front of a microphone like you do. Gee, you got beautiful eyes. I mean, voice.
Well, have you ever had an audition?
Uh-huh.
What happened? Flop?
Right on my face. I fainted.
Really?
Yeah, you see that thing? That thing in there?
You mean the mic in the studio?
Yeah, it's not a mic. It's a monster. It scares me to death.
Well, would you like to try again?
Sure, but I'd faint again. I know it.
Well, look, I'll be free all Wednesday afternoon. And if you can come in, say, at 3 o'clock, well, we'll practice with a dead microphone.
You mean one that died?
No, I just mean a mic that isn't in use. After all, if nobody can hear you, you have nothing to be frightened of. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, though, I have an appointment with our boss, Mr. B.J. Stratton.
See, you've been wonderful, Miss Huntley.
Forget it.
Oh,
Yes?
Charlie Standish goes on the air in a few minutes. I wonder if I could stay here and listen to him in your radio.
Help yourself. Wish I could stay, too. Goodbye, Eddie.
Goodbye. She likes me. She's going to help me wake up and live. Alice. Alice Kane. Mrs. Eddie Kane. Oh, gosh, I can see it now. Alice scrambling my eggs, sewing my buttons on, and me making good. A big hit. Singing with Charlie Standish's band, maybe.
Well, maybe you could, Eddie.
What?
Maybe you could.
Who are you?
I'm the spirit of the Wake Up and Live program. I give you courage and the will to do.
Yeah, but you sound just like Miss Alice Huntley.
Of course. I'm the spirit of Miss Alice Huntley.
Well, how do you do?
Eddie, you can do anything if you want to badly enough.
Oh.
What's the matter?
I was just looking at that mic in there in the studio.
A wonderful idea. Go in there now and sing. Pretend you're singing on the radio.
The mic's dead. Did you know?
Yeah. Too bad about Mike.
I couldn't do that, though. I might get germs on our mic.
She said you should practice so you won't be afraid anymore. Oh, dear. I just remembered.
What?
The studio door's locked.
Let me see. Spirit.
Yes, Eddie?
It's locked, all right.
Too bad.
But I have a key. You see, all guys have to carry keys.
Then what are you waiting for? Just turn on the radio.
Yeah. What am I waiting for?
So long, Eddie.
What do you mean, so long?
Just so long. I'll see you around.
Yeah. Now, where are those keys? Oh, here we are. Me. Hello, Mike. Made me faint once, didn't you? Think you're pretty wise, don't you? I'll show you. Nah, just sit back and listen. That's Charlie Standish playing. And I'm gonna sing.
It seems to me I've heard that song before. It's from an old familiar score. I know it well, that melody. It's funny how a theme recalls a favorite dream. A dream that brought you so close to me.
Come in.
Here's the script for tomorrow's broadcast, Mr. Stratton.
Fine, I better turn off the radio.
Now, wait a minute.
Huh?
Don't turn it off. Listen.
Yeah, see, that boy's good. Wonder why Standish didn't mention he has a new singer.
Why, he's wonderful.
Say, a singer like that should have a show of his own. Alice, I said a singer like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
Nothing. Look here, young lady. I can see if we're going to get any work done. We better shut the radio off right now.
I should say so.
Well, Miss Arnold Stitch.
Yes, Mrs. Stratton.
Remind me to tell Charlie Standish to use this singer again.
I heard that lovely song before.
Herb, come here.
Yeah, Charlie?
Well, who was it? Who was that guy singing?
I don't know. It didn't come from the band here.
It must have been a guy in the band. Who else could it have been?
I tell you, Charlie, this radio, wonderful invention. Wonderful.
There's the engineer. Ernie, what goes here?
It's haunted. The whole joint's haunted.
Yeah, but that guy was great.
So was Superman, but he just don't exist.
How can you say he don't exist?
A singing gremlin. That's what it was, a singing gremlin.
What did they say, Patsy? Come on, what did they say?
I spoke to Stratton himself. He says the singing definitely did not come from the studio.
Then it must have come from the Hi-Hat Club. Hello? Hello? Yes, this is Hackett. Now look, Jack, fun is fun. Did that voice come from your club or didn't it? But we just spoke to Stratton. Okay, call me back. Bye, Patsy.
Yeah.
That was Jack McIntyre. He owns the Hi-Hat Club. He swears the voice didn't come from there.
Yeah.
And Stratton swears it didn't come from the studio.
Yeah.
But the voice, whoever he is, whatever he is great. Sensational.
I'll say he is.
That means Standish is going to knock himself out trying to find him and sign him up.
But not if you can help it.
Right, not if I can help it. Here, Patsy, take this down. It's got to go at the top of tomorrow's column.
Shoot.
A sensational singer was heard last night on the Charlie Standish broadcast. If, capital I, capital F, if Charlie can deliver the same singer on his next broadcast, I, Marty Hackett, will make a public apology for all the true things I've said about Charlie, and furthermore, will give $1,000 to any charity Standish should name, excepting, of course, Charlie Standish.
That's a lot of dough, Marty.
I know it. Now, Patsy, let's see him deliver the Phantom Troubadour.
In just a moment, Mr. DeMille will bring you Act Two of Wake Up and Live, starring Frank Sinatra, with James Gleason, Bob Crosby, Marilyn Maxwell, and James Dunn. Now, our producer, Mr. DeMille.
Act Two of Wake Up and Live, starring Frank Sinatra as Eddie, with Bob Crosby as Charlie Standish, Jimmy Gleason as Marty Hackett, Marilyn Maxwell as Alice Huntley, and James Dunn as Steve.
Broadcasting Company, I'm sorry, I cannot tell you.
General Broadcasting Company, no, madam, he's not listed on any of our programs.
General Broadcasting Company? Well, I've been trying to find out myself for the last 2 hours, and frankly, madam, it's driving me nuts.
Sorry.
Sorry. Sorry.
General Broadcasting Company has been flooded with excited calls. Who is the sensational new singer with the Charlie Standish Band? 2 days have gone by, and the mystery is just as deep as ever. Even Eddie Kane hasn't the slightest idea that the microphone he so bravely faced was the one that sent his voice across the nation. In the office of B.J. Stratton, Charlie Standish glumly listens to the daily broadcast by Marty Hackett.
Extra, extra, extra. Charlie Standish is in hot water, and I don't mean that he's taking a bath. Who is this Phantom Troubadour? Charlie won't tell because he simply doesn't know. Here's what happened. During Charlie's broadcast, some wires were crossed, and the unknown voice from an unknown source came through accidentally. Meanwhile, the fan mail, the phone calls, the telegrams continue to pour into General Broadcasting, who's worried.
That's enough. Turn it off, Charlie.
Good old Marty. There's a man after my own heart with a knife.
There's only one way to get Marty to lay off, Charlie, and you know it.
Yeah, I know.
You've just got to tell us who the singer is.
Well, I can't tell you who he is or where he is, but I'll make you a promise, B.J. Tomorrow night, when I go on the air again from the Hi-Hat Club, I'll have the Phantom Troubadour there.
What?
Yes, sir, it's a promise. I'll have him there in person.
Charlie, that's wonderful. Great little publicity stunt. I figured all along you had something up your sleeve, you sly old fox.
Yeah, man, I'm a fox. And that was the voice of Bugle Ann.
Now, don't forget, Charlie, you promised.
Yeah, I promise. Tomorrow night, there's not a thing to worry about, B.J., not a thing. Holy smoke.
Ladies and gentlemen, after promising that he would deliver the Phantom Troubadour tonight, poor old Charlie Standish did it again. What a fiasco. You, who were gullible enough to believe Charlie and tuned in, heard a pretty good singer. But was it the Phantom? No, indeedy. The singer was my good friend, the famous impersonator, Bobby Baker. And Bobby has just told me that 3 days ago, when the real Phantom made his now historic broadcast, Bobby was in Detroit. Hold it. 1 second, please. My secretary has just handed me a telegram. It's from Charlie Standish, and let me read it to you. Dear Marty, I am licked. But you can't blame a guy for trying. You put up $1,000. I am now offering $5,000 to anyone for information leading to the positive identification of the real Phantom Troubadour. And as a token of good faith, we'll post the money with you. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. A reward of $5,000 to anyone for information.
Hi, Eddie. Still looking for the Phantom?
Gosh, I should say so. $5,000 reward.
You wouldn't know him if you heard him, Bob.
Yeah, just my luck. I wouldn't know the guy if he sang right in my ear. But if I ever collected that reward, gosh, I could even...
What?
Well, ask her for a date, maybe.
Who?
Alice Huntley.
Nice going. But what about that Jean dame, your ex-partner?
No. I can see now that all the time we're in vaudeville, she was just a real part of the act. And she's got a swell job now on Long Island.
And a new boyfriend, Gus Avery.
Yeah, I know. She told me.
Say, too bad about Alice, ain't it? They're taking a show off the air.
No. They can't do that. Why, she's great. She's wonderful.
I know, I know.
Have you ever seen her eyes, Steve? Gosh, and her ears? And her nose?
Maybe they're just saving her for television.
Yeah.
Huh? Look, why don't you run down the hall and see her? She's sort of broken up, and she could stand a few words of comfort.
From me?
Why not? Go on, kid. Get going.
Come in. Oh, Eddie.
I just heard about what happened. Gee.
Well, my sponsors decided that my Wake Up and Live programs were only putting people to sleep.
They were not. They were great. Say, you shouldn't give up. Remember your own words. Put doubt and fear upon the shelf and seek the strength that's in yourself.
You do remember, don't you?
Sure. And I remember, wake up and live. Be strong. Be strong. And keep in mind my little song. Wake up and live. If Lady Luck is yawning, up on your toes.
Well, Eddie, don't stop, Eddie. Why, you've got a wonderful voice.
Thanks. I used to be in vaudeville.
Really?
Sure. Just small time, though. Say, what's that thing?
This?
Yeah.
Just a recording machine. I make a recording of my rehearsal, and then if something doesn't sound right, well, I have a chance to correct it before the broadcast.
Oh.
Have you ever made a record?
Gosh, no.
Like to try it?
Yeah, but I'd still have to sing into a microphone, and I couldn't do that.
Yes, but just you and I would hear it, and then if you didn't like the record, well, you could throw it away. Come on, sing something.
Nope, not with a mic.
Well, all right, Eddie. Look, do me a favor.
Anything.
Will you see if the janitor's still out in the hall? He wanted to get in here and clean up.
Oh, I'll find him, Miss Huntley. I do it myself, only I'm supposed to be on duty.
And look, promise me something?
Sure.
Sing one song for me. Anything you want.
Okay. As soon as I find the janitor. But no mics.
Okay, no mics.
Don't be a naughty baby. Come to Papa Doo. My sweet embrace of you.
Well, Charlie, do you believe me now?
Well, that's a phantom, all right, but where on earth did you get this record of his voice?
Never you mind.
I gotta know, Alice. You know Marty Hackett. He'd do anything to cross me up on this. Look, let me have the story just so I can protect myself.
Well, the phantom is scared stiff of microphones. He sang this song for me, but he didn't know I was recording it.
Wonderful.
Oh, but I feel I've cheated him somehow, not letting him know. And so I want him to get the $5,000. I don't want it.
Now, wait a minute, honey. I can't give away $5,000 until he sings on my program again.
And I can arrange that tonight.
Oh, that's swell. Now, who is he and what's his name?
That can wait, Charlie. I've got another surprise. The Phantom will sing on your show, but he can't go to the Hi-Hat Club and he can't broadcast from a studio.
What's this?
If he knew he was singing over a mic, well, he's liable to drop dead.
Well, then how can you possibly get him on the show?
Listen, you know the engineer who used to work on my show, George Bartlett?
Yeah.
Well, George has rigged up all the apparatus necessary in my apartment.
Yeah, all the apparatus except the Phantom.
Don't worry. The Phantom will be there. And George knows just what to do to cut him in when you're broadcasting. The Phantom will sing from my apartment, but it will sound as if he's singing from the Hi-Hat Club, see?
You sure about this, Alice?
It can't miss. Now, in addition to the reward, the price will be, shall we say, $2,000 to broadcast?
Shall we say, 1,000?
Shall we settle for 1,500?
It's a deal. Now, when can you deliver the Phantom in person, and how much time can you give me on it?
Well,
How about a week?
Oh, all right, 1 week. And as a further guarantee of my good faith, here, you can have this, his record.
Oh, that's swell. Now, look, Alice, at exactly 10:15 tonight, the band will play Dancing in the Dark.
Right, and at exactly 10:15 in my apartment, the Phantom Troubadour will sing it.
Gee, Miss Huntley, it's after 10 o'clock. Don't you think I'd better go home?
Well, of course not, silly.
Well, okay.
Now, let's continue with our lesson.
Yeah, where were we?
Talking about muscles.
But I guess I just don't have any.
Nonsense. You exercise your muscles to make them strong, don't you?
Well, I try.
And you do the same thing with your mind. Now, if you're afraid to do something, well, just say to yourself, stick to the task until it's done, until my fight with fear is won.
Well, that's okay, Miss Huntley, but who wants poetry? It ought to be simple, like make up your mind to do a thing and you'll do it. Look at Columbus. Look at Edison. Papa Dion.
That's great. Now, come on. Let's see you practice what you preach.
Now, wait a minute. What's that thing?
Just a microphone, Eddie.
Dead?
Well, of course it's dead. But if you'd rather not...
Oh, I'm scared, Miss Huntley.
Okay, well, then let's turn on the radio, shall we?
Sure. Say, Charlie Standish is on now.
Is he? Oh, well, that's right. Well, let's get him, hmm?
What a band. Gee, it's sure tough he couldn't find that phantom troubadour. Marty Hackett's driving him nuts.
Look, Eddie, this isn't getting you anywhere.
What is it?
Your fear of a microphone.
I know, I'm just a dope.
Once you said you'd do anything for me, Eddie.
Well, if you'd only give me a chance to,
I am, right now. I want you to make believe that this is a radio studio and that you're on the air singing with Charlie Standish's band. Please, Eddie, for me.
Okay, I'll do it for you.
Wonderful. Now you get set and I'll be right back. I forgot I had to defrost the icebox.
Okay, but hurry. Don't leave me alone with this microphone.
What do you say, Alice? Okay?
Right. Cut him in on the chorus and cut him off as soon as the song's finished.
Right.
Well, Eddie, all ready?
Yep. Dancing in the dark till the tune ends. We're dancing in the dark and it soon ends. We're waltzing in the wonder of wine. Time hurries by. Looking for the light of a new love to brighten up the night. I have you, love, and we can face the music together.
Applause Charlie is getting. And think what it would have been if he had the Phantom with him. What are you thinking of, Alice?
Oh, I'm wondering what Marty Hackett is thinking right now.
I tell you, I'm thinking about blowing my brains out. Find that Phantom.
But, Marty, I tell you, we looked all over.
You just heard him on the radio, didn't you?
Yeah, but...
And again, we know for certain he's not at the Hi-Hat Club.
Definitely.
Then he must be in this building. Steve, go through every room, every studio until you find him. I've got to get him on my program.
But, Marty, there's 70 stories to this building.
And if you don't find him, you get to the roof, jump off.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. After a brief intermission, Mr. DeMille returns with Frank Sinatra, James Gleason, Bob Crosby, Marilyn Maxwell, and James Dunn. Now, Mr. DeMille returns to the microphone.
After the play, we'll have a backstage chat with the man of the hour. But now the curtain rises on the third act of Wake Up and Live, starring Frank Sinatra, Bob Crosby, Jimmy Gleason, Marilyn Maxwell, and James Dunn. Charlie Standish has pulled a rabbit out of his hat. For the second time, the Phantom Troubadour has appeared on his program. But the rabbit, Mr. Eddie Kane, is still completely unaware that he is the voice of the century. It's the following night, and Eddie is again in Alice Huntley's apartment, getting ready to sing into what he thinks is a dead microphone. Meanwhile, in his desperate search for the Phantom, Marty has stumbled on a clue.
I did like you told me, boss, and it looks great.
Well, come on, what happened?
I found a trucking company what said they delivered a lot of radio equipment the day before yesterday to an apartment house on East 77th. Apartment 2B. Microphones and everything.
Who did they deliver it to?
Alice Huntley. You know the dame we used to be
around. Yeah, I know. Alice Huntley. No, Steve. Sounds like a baddie.
Why? What do you mean?
Alice at least has some excuse for getting radio equipment. It's her business, isn't it? If it had only been someone else.
Yeah, that's right, maybe.
Well, I'm going to take a walk, Steve. Maybe I'll just wander up to East 77th Street. You never can tell. I may just happen to stumble over something.
Eddie, that was the best yet. You sang as if you had all the confidence in the world.
Right now, I feel like I could sing in front of an army of microphones.
And you could. All you've got to do is concentrate and say, I will, I will.
Do that again.
I will, I...
I did.
Eddie, you kissed me.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Stop being sorry, Eddie. I'm not.
You're not? Gee, Alice. Gosh, you're wonderful. You sure did wake me up. I'll be awake all night now.
You better not be. You and I have a heavy date tomorrow night.
Hmm? What's tomorrow night?
A big secret. But how would you like to go with me to the High Hat Club?
Well, that's terrific. Are you sure it's okay if you bring me along?
I'm sure if I didn't, Charlie Standish would be awfully, awfully mad.
Nobody could be mad at you, Alice.
Well, just be sure to be here tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Well, good night, Eddie.
Gee. Good night, Alice.
Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Mr. Hackett. Say, what are you doing up here?
Oh, just visiting a sick friend, Eddie. Say, what were you doing in Alice Huntley's apartment?
Well, she knows all about radio. Like you, I mean, and she's been showing me how to get over my mic fright.
Oh, that was you I heard singing.
You mean you heard me?
Sure. Fine, powerful voice, Eddie.
Well, you see, Alice has got a phony microphone in her apartment, and I've been going up there every night to rehearse.
And she's cured you?
I sure have more confidence. She's making a self-made man out of me.
Think you could sing on a live microphone now?
I think so.
Tell me, how would you like to sing on my program?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. Put you on tomorrow night.
Oh, that's much too soon.
Now, listen, Eddie, listen now. Here's Alice. A girl with a great radio idea, and she gets bounced off the air. She runs into a guy who's scared to death. Puts her ideas into practice on him. Cures him of mic fright, and I put him on the air to prove it. It's a break for you and a terrific plug for Alice. You'd like to help Alice now, wouldn't you?
You bet I would. But I can't do it tomorrow night. I got a date with her. She's taking me to the Hi-Hat Club.
Now, Eddie, is that more important to you and to her?
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right.
Good. Now, don't tell her so. Be at my office at 12 tomorrow. We'll have lunch.
Okay, Mr. Hackett.
Yippee!
Hey, wake up, Eddie. There's a phone call for you.
Oh, what do you say?
Telephone.
Oh, say, what time is it?
Only 2 o'clock in the morning. Hurry up.
Gee, thanks. Who can it be?
The Phantom Troubadour. How do I know?
Hello?
Is this Eddie Kane?
Yeah?
Eddie, this is Gus Avery. Remember, Gene's agent?
Oh, sure, Mr. Avery.
Eddie, something's awful's happened. Gene's been in an accident. She's calling for you. She's begging you to come.
You mean she's hurt? Serious?
Well, the doctor just don't know, Eddie. Would you come?
Sure. Where is she?
Long Island. Greenville, Long Island. 507 Melrose Street. You'll come right away, Eddie. She needs you. Please, Eddie.
Oh, sure, right away. I'll get a cab right away.
Hiya, Eddie. Boy, am I glad to see you.
Gene, but I thought you were dying or something.
Dying to see you, kid. Come on in.
Yeah, but Gus told me that you were in an accident.
Sorry, Eddie, but we had to see you.
Well, now that you've seen me, I guess I'll go back. Say, what's the matter with you two?
Eddie, you great big sensation, you.
makes a terrific hit on the air and forgets all about me.
Oh, Jean, you must be crazy. Maybe someday I will make good once I do get on the air.
What do you mean once you do get on the air? I know you, Eddie, so don't try pulling any of that Phantom Troubadour stuff on me.
Phantom me?
What an actor.
Now, look, stop playing dumb, Eddie. Didn't I hear that voice of yours twice a day for 4 years? Don't tell me I can't recognize it anymore.
Honest, I don't know what you're talking about.
I gotta hand it to you, kid. What publicity? You got Hackett screaming for you, you got Standy screaming for you, and you just sit back till the right offer comes along. And, baby, I've got it.
Look, if I were the Phantom Troubadour, don't you think I'd give myself up and collect that $5,000 reward?
Chicken feed, laddie. Chicken feed.
What?
Let me handle this, Gus. I know Eddie. Maybe he is telling the truth.
Jean, why would I lie about a thing like this?
Eddie, look, do you swear you haven't been near a microphone?
Well, sure I've been near microphones. I'm studying to overcome my fear. Once I sang in Miss Huntley's studio, and twice in her apartment.
Uh-huh. Go on, Eddie.
Yeah, but every time the mic was dead.
Oh, no, Eddie, that's what you thought. Every time the mic was live, live enough to change your name from Eddie Kane to the Phantom Troubadour.
Well, Jean, maybe you're right. What'll I do?
Get some water, Gus. But first get that contract. We've just found a gold mine.
Well, I guess my goose is cooked. It's not your fault, Alice. Eddie's just a heel, I guess.
I won't let you say that. He's wonderful. And don't worry, he's bound to show up.
No, honey, Marty must have him. It was in his column this morning. He promised to have the Phantom Tube of Dora on his program tonight at 6 o'clock.
Eddie wouldn't do such a thing.
He wouldn't. We just saw Eddie's boss.
Yeah, and he didn't show up for work, so they canned him.
Well, search the city. Try the Missing Persons Bureau. Call his boarding house. Just get Eddie in here.
Look, I'm his sister. I know Eddie. He'll show up as soon as he's broke.
Charlie Standish has got him. He's got him hidden away somewhere.
Marty, are you sure you haven't got a fever? Why are you so worked up about Eddie?
I should break this gently, but I just haven't got the time. Brace yourself, kids. Eddie Kane is the Phantom Troubadour.
Well, Eddie, you feeling better now?
Oh, sure. Kind of silly of me fainting.
My boy, you'll never regret signing that contract. It'll make you and Gene the biggest thing in radio.
Sure sounds great. But really, I gotta get back to town now. Marty Hackett, a friend of mine, is gonna be awfully sore if I don't. And then later, I got a date.
Well,
gotta...
what are you waiting for? Come on, I'll be happy to drive you to town in my car.
Well, I don't want to rush off like this.
Well, not at all, my boy, not at all. Come on.
Okay, stick him up. Hey, what's the meaning of this?
Pipe down and do what we tell you. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Pete.
Take the dame and that guy upstairs. Tie him up good.
This is an outrage.
I'll take the kid in the kitchen. When you're through up there, come on down.
You can't get away with this.
Okay, Pete. And find a deck of cards. As long as we gotta stay here, might as well play some gin.
Help! Help!
Good work, Mike. Here's your dough. Now treat the punk nice, but see if he stays put till I let you know.
Right.
All right, mastermind. What goes now?
You just watch. First, I telephone Mr. Marty Hackett. Hello. Hello, operator. I want to call New York City. Person to person call to Marty Hackett at General Broadcast.
Hey, Marty, I'm back. Look what I got.
What is it?
A little present for you. I just happened to take a walk, and before I knew it, I found myself right in Mr. Charlie Standish's house. Of course, I haven't any idea how I got in.
Oh, no, of course not.
So I hurried right out, and what do you suppose I found under my arm?
Tell me, Stevie.
This, a record. A recording made by the Phantom Troubadour.
Give me that thing. Steve, this is great. Wonderful. Hello?
Hello, Marty. This is your old pal, Gus Avery. I'm terribly sorry the Phantom can't appear on your broadcast tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, wise guy. You've been taking cracks at me for months, and now I'm paying off. You haven't got the Phantom, and Standish hasn't got him either, but I have an under contract to me, and if Standish comes across with enough dough, he gets him.
What makes you think he's the Phantom?
Stop stalling, Marty. Stop it. I just want you to know that anybody who wants him is going to pay plenty.
Okay, Gus, now you listen. You may have somebody out there, but you've got the wrong bird. Just listen into my show tonight at 6 o'clock and get a load of the real Phantom. So long, Gus.
Marty, you mean...
Yes, I mean. Keep all visitors out of the studio tonight by putting the Phantom on. But only you and I are going to know it's a recording.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the nationwide search for the Phantom Troubadour is over. My uncomfortable friend, Charlie Standish, thought he'd have the Phantom on his own broadcast at 9 o'clock tonight. But this little pig got up very, very early. I promised to bring him to you, and now here he is, the Phantom Troubadour. Okay, Fant.
Embrace me.
But you're much too shy, unnecessarily so. I love all the many charms about you. Above all, I want my arms about you. Don't be a naughty baby. Come to Papa, do. My sweet embrace of you.
Can I tell you, Gus, there's some mistake. It's ridiculous.
Don't tell me, sister. I heard the Phantom before. And that was the Phantom just now on Hackett's program. You dizzy dame, you. I could have you pinched for impersonating a brain.
Don't you talk to me like that, you conniving
Hizzler. You see this contract? $3,000 a week for Kane and Roberts, eh? Well, watch, sister, watch.
You can't do that. You can't.
Now, I just did, didn't I? That's what I think of Kane and Roberts. Hey, Mike, come in here.
Yeah, Gus.
Untie that bum you got in there and kick him out. Throw him out of here.
Oh, boss, you mean now?
Yeah, now.
Oh, gee, I got Pete in there on a blitz.
Gee, it sure is swell of you to give me a lift, mister.
Nah, that's okay, buddy.
Say, how long before we get to New York?
Oh, another half hour, I guess.
Do you mind if I turn on the radio?
Nah, go ahead. Maybe you can get the symphony. Ah, gee, I sure love the symphony.
Well, I was hoping I could hear Charlie Standish at the hi-hat club.
Well, okay, get him if you got him. Me, I like the symphony. You like Standish, I like Stukowski. That's what makes the world go round.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
Well, folks, this is Charlie Standish, and Hitler should have my headache. The Phantom is not here. I bow my weary noggin in defeat and turn the microphone over to Marty Hackett. I've laid an egg, and here he is to crow over. Marty Hackett.
Hey, this is Marty Hackett.
Me, I like Dean Taylor.
Yes, folks, it looks like poor old Charles has been caught in his own mousetrap. But in all fairness, I want to confess that what you heard on my program early tonight was not the Phantom. It was only a recording of his voice. I only hope you'll all believe me when I tell you I did it with the best intentions. And now, a word from the Wake Up and Lift girl, Miss Alice Huntley.
Alice!
Eddie, wherever you are, if you're listening in, please come over here and sing. At least you've got to try. This is your big chance, Eddie. The chance you've been waiting for. Oh, you can't fail now. It means too much to, well, to both of us. I'm going away, Eddie. So please come, if only to say goodbye.
I'm coming, Alice. Don't worry, darling. I'm coming as fast as I can.
Hey, did you say something, buddy?
Yeah, that's Alice. She wants me. Me, Eddie Kane, the Phantom Troubadour.
Turn that thing off. Look, when I picked you up, where'd you say you was?
I was at Greenville.
You sure it wasn't Central Islip?
Sure, I'm sure. What's Central Islip?
That's where they keep the booby hatch.
Oh, no. Like I told you, I was in Greenville. A couple of mugs had me tied up in the kitchen while they played gin rummy.
Well, that's different. What? Better, let's get out of here.
Leaving us so early, Mr. Hackett?
Yeah, well, I'm ashamed to be seen in public.
Oh, all of us make mistakes now and then.
All of us is right. I did. Charlie Standish did, and that poor little girl in there, Alice Huntley. Well, here you are, Al.
Thanks, Mr. Hackett. Shall I get a cab?
No, I'll walk. Say, if you see anything that looks like a Phantom Troubadour, call me at the office.
Right. Good night.
So long, Phantom. See you in Central Islip.
So long.
Thanks a million.
Hey, where do you think you're going? This is the hi-hat club.
Inside. She's waiting for me.
Oh, she is. And how do you think she'll feel when you come in street clothes? Shame on you.
Please, pal. I gotta get in there. There's a girl in
there.
There's
a lot of girls in there. Go on now, buddy. Scram.
Have a heart, will you, mister? Hey, wait a minute. Who's that? Say, Mr. Hackett. Mr. Hackett.
Yeah?
Eddie!
Mr. Hackett, do you suppose you could get me inside? Alice is in there, and I heard her say that she...
I'll say you're going in, Al.
Yes, sir.
Fling wide those golden gates.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Eddie.
Yes, sir, Mr. Hackett.
Charlie,
Charlie Standish.
You back again, Marty?
Quick, Charlie, a cord and G.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Alice Huntley and that old broken-down friend of ours, Charlie Standish, I take great pleasure in presenting at last, finally, and in person, the Phantom Troubadour, Eddie Kane.
Eddie. Oh, Eddie.
Gee, Alice, you're wonderful.
How about a song, Eddie? What do you say?
Say I will, Eddie. Please say I will.
I will, Eddie, I will. I mean, I will. Alice, you're not going away, are you?
I'm afraid I am, darling. With you on a honeymoon.
Extra, extra, extra. The voices you just heard, ladies and gentlemen, were those of Alice Huntley proposing and Mr. Eddie Kane accepting. Leap year, you know. And their advice to you is...
Wake up and live. If lady luck is yawning, up on your toes, a better day is coming.
Now, here's Mr. DeMille with our stars.
There's always someone new under the Hollywood sun. Right now, it's Frank Sinatra. And here he is for a curtain call with Bob Crosby and Jimmy Gleason.
Yeah, and I'd like to know what Crosby's doing in enemy country.
Maybe Bob came to sing.
No, I came to spy for Bing.
Well, look, you can tell old Bingo we got a new man in the racket.
You mean the Mazzy Dotes King?
Who else? The night Mr. DeMille sang Mazzy Dotes over on my show, the hep cats howled from coast to coast. Say, Mr. DeMille, how's about a fast chorus or two right now?
Well, I'm sorry, Frank, but I have to be very dignified here. You know, producer and everything.
You mean you never sing here?
Well, confidentially, Frank, nobody has ever asked me.
Go ahead and ask him. Yeah, Jimmy.
Ask him yourself. You ask
Well, I've about decided to retire as a singer. Perhaps your new son would care to take my place, Frank.
Well, it could be.
Say, they tell me that kid has a future. What's the first sound you'd expect him to make after he was born, Mr. DeMille?
Bah.
Ah, that's a sheep.
Well, they tell me Frank Sinatra Jr. did nothing like that. The doctor gave him a little spank, and the kid sang, "My heart begins to pound and pound and pound."
Did the doctor faint?
No, but three nurses swooned.
Well, unless the nurses were over 60, he can't take my place.
What's the play here next week, Mr. DeMille?
It's one of the finest pictures to come out of the war, Frank. It's the 20th Century Fox dramatic hit, Guadalcanal Diary. And we'll have the same stars you saw in the picture. William Bendix, Preston Foster, and Lloyd Nolan. America's fighting men have gone a long way since Guadalcanal, but that first step will always be one of the most thrilling acts in the drama of the long road to Tokyo. Our hero next week is not one man. It's the United States Marine Corps.
Well, that was a great picture, Mr. DeMille. I want to hear your production. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Wake up and live with good advice. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night, when the Lux Radio Theater presents Preston Foster, William Bendix, and Lloyd Nolan in Guadalcanal Diary with Richard Jekyll. This is Cecil B. DeMille saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Ladies and gentlemen, a majority of American families will have to file an income tax return by March 15th. Withholding payments already made from wages and salaries do not relieve you from the obligation of filing a return. You can help your government by doing this early.
Frank Sinatra is currently seen in the RKO picture Higher and Higher. He appeared tonight through the courtesy of the Lucky Strike Hit Parade and Vim's. Marilyn Maxwell through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios, producers of Madame Curie, one of the pictures just nominated for the Academy Award. And Bob Crosby through the courtesy of the makers of Old Golds. James Gleason was heard through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Studio, producers of The Sullivans. Heard in tonight's play were Charles Seal, B. Benaderet, John McIntyre, Kathy Lewis, Alice Mock, Leo Cleary, Arthur Q. Bryan, Ed Emerson, Eddie Marr, Stanley Farrar, Norman Field, Truda Marson, Tyler McVeigh, and Verna Felton. This program is broadcast to our fighting forces overseas through cooperation with the Armed Forces Radio Service. Our Lux Radio Theater production of Wake Up and Live, starring Frank Sinatra with Bob Crosby, Jimmy Gleason, Marilyn Maxwell, and James Dunn, has come to you with the good wishes of the makers of Lux Flakes, the tissue-thin soap used by smart housewives everywhere. In the Lux Radio Theater next week, we will have, as usual, our producer, Cecil B. DeMille. Our music was directed by Louis Silvers, and this is your announcer, John M. Kennedy, reminding you to tune in again next Monday night to hear Preston Foster, Lloyd Nolan, and William Bendix in Guadalcanal Diary with Richard Jagel. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And there you go, the Lux Radio Theater from February 21st of 46. Bob Crosby and Frank Sinatra in Wake Up and Live. Up and coming next for our final hour for today's Radio Vault, we'll be checking out the Bob Hope Show with Frank Sinatra as guest. This is another Armed Forces Radio Service recording. And if you've paid attention for any number of Radio Vault programs, you'll know that the Armed Forces Radio Service versions of the show are identical to the domestic versions, except they don't play commercials. Perfect for us, right? So the Bob Hope Show is next. We'll follow that with Archie Andrews and the fiasco that happened when they went on a picnic. That's next. The final hour of today's Radio Vault is waiting in the wings. Background sounds are none other than Lonnie Liston Smith and the Cosmic Echoes. We'll be right back.
before we get to Mozart, there's music by Ettore Gilfillan.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
The 16th annual WHFR Record Show is Saturday, September 20th. If you're looking to sell records, cassettes, CDs, DVDs, VHS, or other music swag, WHFR is now accepting vendor applications. For dealer information, please visit our website, www.whfr.fm/recordshow. That's www.whfr.fm/recordshow. We look forward to working with you at the 16th annual WHFR Record Show, Saturday, September 20th.
Bob Hope and his special guest, Frank Sinatra.
Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, so they hit the moon with radar hope. See for me. I went down to Palm Springs last week, and they really have a housing shortage down there. In fact, I saw one ad in the paper that read for rent, $50 a month, a size 38 shadow. Palm Springs is really wonderful, isn't it? In 1 week, you get healthy enough to go back to work and poor enough to have to. And it's so ritzy, the snakes in that part of the desert don't have rattles, and back they have built-in recorders that play nothing but Castellanos. What prices the hotels get? I stepped up to the clerk and asked him if he could give me a suite for $5, and he handed me a Hershey bar. You should have seen the hotel I stopped at. What a place. There was a sign in the room, "Don't turn off the electric fan. It's holding up the walls." What a broken down room. The only time it had a ceiling was when a low cloud went by. But I finally got a beautiful room with a very high ceiling, except when the elevator came down. And it's so hot down in Palm Springs, one lens fell out of my smoked glasses and my right eye got burned black. For a week, I walked around looking like an overgrown panda. Panda, you know, he has one white eye and one white eye. And my lens fell, you know. And the last time I buy a gag from the Griffith Park Zoo, I want to tell you that. While I was in Palm Springs, those jet planes passed over on their way to New York. And I don't know if they were traveling fast enough to create a vacuum, but 10 acres of tumbleweed followed them as far as Iowa. I'm not saying they went fast, but the pilots got the hiccups. He hicked in Salt Lake City and cupped over Chicago. When they landed, my sponsor sent me a wire reading, "This shows you what hot air will do if you direct it right."
If you are planning a trip, come down to Tampico Way. Those lovely tropical scenes will make you want to stay.
Hi, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, that's the place to go.
You lose your troubles and cares when you fiesta each day, and soon you're happy to live the Pan-American way.
Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, that's the place to go.
There are no strangers down there. It's all a big family, because they greet you with their good neighbor policy. Senoritas down there are sentimental and shy, and once they whisper hello, you'll never say goodbye.
Hi, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, that's the
place to go.
You learn to rumba down there with Estherita McPhail, who learned to do it last week from Arthur Murray by mail.
Hi, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, that's the place to go.
The senoritas, they wave when you arrive at the docks. The native costumes they wear are slacks and bobby socks. That's the place to go in Tampico, in Mexico.
Glad I'm waiting for you. But then, what else could I do? Yes, there were one or two that I used to date with. But then,
ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet a fine young singer who recently returned from a trip back east. If you had good eyesight, you saw him in Anchors Away. The original Thin Man, one of the greatest guys who almost lived, Andy Russell's grandfather, Frank Sinatra, right here.
Along. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Bob.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Frank. You're looking as strong and handsome as ever.
Thank you, Robin, and you're looking as intelligent and as sophisticated as ever.
Boy, is television going to louse up this program. Tell me, Frankie, how was your trip east?
Wonderful, Bob. I flew, you know. Made it in 12 hours.
Gee, that's pretty good time.
Yes, it is, considering that I had to stop at Albuquerque to change pigeons. You know, Bob, I had a small accident. I had to bail out, as a matter of fact.
You had to bail out? What happened?
Well, when we got over Denver, the pigeon hit a downdraft and the recoil threw me off.
You feel a little kick on that last one. Say, you really covered a lot of territory back there. Yeah. Tell me, are the hotel rooms still scarce in New York? Huh?
Still scarce? Well, I took a ride down Riverside Drive.
So what?
So nothing. General Grant was sitting on a park bench and getting $10 a day for renting out his tomb.
Well, you must have felt right at home in there.
No, Bob, you see, I stayed...
Wait a second! Oh, Frank, read the cues. Wait for laughs.
I lost my head. I'll
I almost lost my laugh.
Bob, you see, I stayed with my folks over in Hoboken. I'm from the north, you know. That's my hometown. I went to grammar school there.
I bet you were the spitball champion, huh?
Not me. The other kids threw the spitballs.
Well, how come you didn't throw them?
Well, they used to wrap me up inside and let me do the steering.
Just think, Frank, only a few years ago, we were both living in the wrong side of the tracks, and here we are today, next door neighbors in North Hollywood.
Uh-huh. So you're the guy that lives next door to me.
Yeah, what about it?
Bob, must you raise sheep?
That isn't the reason, Frankie. I'm doing all of Lana Turner's knitting now.
Fine vocation. Say, Robin, I got a complaint to make, though.
What about?
Well, I can't understand that dog of yours. Look, I've been living there for months, and he still barks at me when he sees me laying around the yard. Doesn't he like me?
Oh, it isn't that, Frankie. It's just that he's never seen a bone with a bow tie on it before.
You may hear from my lawyer, boy.
Frank, that's a nice-looking house you live in, and that's a nice driveway you have there, too.
Yeah, it costs quite a bit, but it's worth it.
Yeah, that was a good idea, surfacing it with Crush Crosby records. By the way, Frank, have you seen old Butterbeam lately?
Yeah, I've seen Mount Baldy. They ran across Bing in New York.
Really? What else is doing in the Bowery? But, Frank, it's a good thing you're back in Hollywood now. You know, while you're away, a certain actor has been taking over some of your Bobby Sox business and has been squealing for him.
Really? What's the name of this hijacker?
Oh, you've heard the name. Van Johnson.
Van. What is that, a movie actor or a trucking company? Are you kidding?
That's a charm school with freckles.
Oh, sure. I heard about him, Bob. Say, tell me, what's the secret of Van's charm anyway?
Well, let's ask Frances. Frances, come here. She's got all the inside.
Yeah. The outside ain't bad either.
Say, Frances, will you step in here? I want you to settle a question between me and Frankie.
Gee, is it really Frank Sinatra?
In the flesh.
Stop bragging.
Why, Frank, I didn't know you were coming down here tonight.
Neither did I, Frances. Been windy, hasn't it? You know, Frances, you should see more of me.
Well, I'd like to. Where'd you leave it?
Fractured here.
Nice work, kid. Oh, you're doing it. Frances, Frank has something to ask you.
Yeah, Frances, I want a kind of quick reaction. To be blunt, who do the girls like better, me or Van Johnson or me?
Well, it's hard to say. The girls really go wild over Van's golden hair.
What do you mean, golden hair? All he got was an egg shampoo and they forgot to comb out the yolk.
Oh, you two are just jealous because you don't have a cute cowlick like Van.
I had a cowlick like that once.
Well, why doesn't your hair stand up on end?
That is where the cow licked me. That isn't where the cow licked me. Gee whiz, my records are still selling big. Why do I stand here reading this junk when I got
now,
money
wait
in the bank?
Wait a minute. What do you mean, junk? I use nothing but sophisticated material.
Yeah.
No coward leftovers. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Well, to me, it's still junk.
Oh, yeah? If you're going to get tough, put up your dukes.
Okay, I got him up. Start something.
Okay, take that.
Frankie! Stop it! Stop! Stop,
fellas! Stop! Why, Frances, you afraid we'll hurt each other?
No, but the sound man is getting awful tired.
Did you leave a call? Come on, take it, Skinny. Come here, Frank.
If I don't see her each day, I miss her. Gee, what a thrill each time I kiss her. Believe me, I've got a case on Nancy's with a laughing face. She takes the winter and makes it summer. Summer could take some lessons from her. Picture a tomboy in lace. That's Nancy with a laughing face. Have you ever heard mission bells ringing? Well, she'll give you the very same glow. When she speaks, you would think it was singing. Just hear her say hello. I swear to goodness, you can't resist her. Sorry for you, she has no sister. No angel could replace Nancy with a laughing face. Keep Betty Grable, L'Amour, and Turner. She makes my heart a charcoal burner. It's heaven when I embrace Nancy with a laughing face.
That's fine, Frank. Sit down and rest. We get some oxygen.
Here comes Faster Frank. For a dream or two, but then I count my sheep well. Funny how sheep can lull you to sleep. So I should care. I should let it upset me. But it just doesn't get me. Maybe I won't find someone as lovely as you. But I should care, and I do.
Tonight, folks, we're going to take a little excursion into the land of fantasy and bring you as weird and chilling a ghost story as you ever heard. We're going to do the life of Frank Sinatra. If you will, Mr. Ennis.
Life of Frank Sinatra.
We take you back to the fateful night of June 8th, 1919. A fateful night indeed. Because on that night, nothing happened. Nothing happened, and they named it Frank Sinatra. As the stork swooped low over the Sinatra home with his precious little bundle, he said,
I better leave this and get away fast. They may have their heart set on the baby.
So, little Frankie is born. And when Papa Sinatra comes home from work, he peeks at the thin figure and says happily,
Ah, I see we're having spaghetti tonight.
But time marches on, and Frankie gets bigger, thanks to helium gas. And even at that early age, his mother knew he was going to be very intelligent. When she looked down at the infant lying in his crib, Frankie would open his big blue eyes and say,
Goo-goo, hey.
At the age of 5, Frankie gets into his first fight with the kid next door.
I give up. Don't hit me again. Don't hit me again.
Okay, and let that be a lesson.
In school, Frank meets a young Southern boy, Edgar Ennis. As boys will, they size each other up carefully, then speak.
Hiya, fatso.
All right, children, we'll start today's lesson.
Say, teacher, ain't you going to call the roll?
No, I got a quicker way. Will all those pupils who are absent please raise their hands? See, every day perfect attendance.
The teacher's a moron. No wonder I'm an idiot.
Robert Hope, you're a bad boy, and you're a bad influence on the rest of the children here in the fifth grade.
How's that, teacher?
Well, this is the second morning this week you come to class without a shave. And another thing, Robert, take off that pointed dunce cap.
What dunce cap?
Hey, Teach, that's his head, hey.
Yeah. Hey, you fat as mustache.
Hey, your mother's stuffed eggplant.
Hey, your sister's tricycle. Wait for it.
And Francie Langford, you can stay after school today.
But, teacher, why should I stay after school? I know all the answers.
Yeah, I know. Now, stop arguing with me. Your children are impossible. I've sent for the principal.
Oh, watch this, Frankie. This ought to be fun. I rigged up a bucket of water over the door, and when the principal opens the door, it'll tip the bucket. Shh. Here he comes now.
Silly bee, started for the classroom and walked right into the swimming pool. All right, children. Let's all line up and have our little ears inspected now. All right, Frankie, step up here. Well, that ear's clean, and now for the other one. Frankie!
What's the matter, Princey? Is it dirty?
Oh, but where did you find a place to buy gum?
Who bought gum? That's the same piece I had there last week.
Hey, huh? I just want to see if you left anything out. I guess.
Hey, Prince, I've got clean ears. Look behind them and see.
Okay. You have two clean ears. Now let me look behind the other two.
I got a question in arithmetic. Is the quadratic complex made up of coordinates to satisfy a homogeneous algebraic equation of degree 2?
Huh?
I said... Is the quadratic complex made up of coordinates to satisfy a homogeneous...
This puck is trying to quit my racket.
Eager for fame and fortune, Frank teams up with Bob Hope and goes into show business. We find Frank and Bob applying for their first job in a Hoboken nightclub.
Frank, my new act will kill the people.
Maybe so, Bob, but I think you should stick to just telling jokes.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think it'll look right, a man doing a bubble dance.
Oh, it's okay. I move fast. I won't catch cold. Well, here's the place, Frank. Kelowna's Mickey Finn Inn. What a tough-looking joint.
What makes you think it's so tough?
Well, just look at the hat check, girl. She's checking the hats with the heads in them.
Hey,
here
Bob.
You are. Check your coat here. Check your coat.
Don't stop, Frank. Walk right by.
Now, how about your hat?
Hey, look, Bob. Here comes the owner.
Hey, mister. We're part of the new floor show.
Sorry, I've got all the chorus girls I need.
Listen, we're not chorus girls. Take another look.
Well, I don't need any scrub women either.
Kelowna, are you the boss here?
That's right, Hope J. Billings v. Kelowna. No liquor sold after hours, no gambling on the premises. Laws of the community observed to the letter. Also, relatives Shanghai to China, cheap.
Hey, look, Frank, there's a dead horse sitting at the bar.
Dead horse sitting at the bar?
Yeah.
That's funny, he paid for a table.
Say, Kelowna.
1 minute, Hope, while I throw out this rowdy customer. All right, Bob, come on, out you go. Fellas, let me back in.
Say, Kelowna, do we get jobs in your floor show?
Well, tell me, Hope, what kind of an act do you do?
Oh, I got a great act. I kill him. I come out on the stage and I say, how do you do, folks? I call my dog Postman because he's expecting a litter. You see, he's expecting a litter. It's my special delivery that gets him, you see? You get it, Jeff? Do you think he can use my jokes?
Why not? Most of our customers like an egg in their beer. And now, Sinatra, let's hear what you can do.
Okay. It might as well be spring. It might as well be spring. It might as well be spring.
Well, don't stand there. Let's plant them.
Got a date with an angel, got me to a seven. Got a date with an angel, I'm on my way to heaven. She's so lovely beside me, and whatever betide me. Got an angel to guide me, so I'm on my way to heaven. Sooner the bells ring out, and the choir will sing out. When the pearly gates ring out, oh, she'll beckon to me. I've been waiting a lifetime for this evening of seven. Got a date with an angel. I'm on my way to heaven. Sooner let the bells ring out, and the choir will sing out. When the pearly gates ring out, oh, she'll beckon to me. I've been waiting a lifetime for this evening at seven. Got a date with an angel, I'm on my way to heaven.
The Bob Hope Show from January 29, 1946 on Radio Vault. Armed Forces Radio Service version just for you.
The Armed Forces Radio Service.
I said that already. And up next will be the Archie Andrews Show, based on the comic strip of the same name. Once again, it's Radio Vault until 1 o'clock. It's your every Tuesday thing to do from 10 in the morning till 1 o'clock. And don't forget Mysteries on Sunday Night Mysteries. From 9 p.m. till 12 midnight. So let us now go back to August 21st, 1948. The fiasco of going on a picnic with Archie Andrews and all his friends.
Millions of readers of Archie Comics magazine know and love so well. Brought to you by Swift & Company, makers of Swift Premium Franks, Archie Andrews, and all his gang.
And now for our weekly visit to Riverdale. It's a sunny Saturday morning as we look in on the Andrews home, and we find Mrs. Andrews working in the kitchen.
There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far.
Mary.
Yes, dear?
Where are you?
I'm in the kitchen.
Oh, all right, dear.
Did you get the grass all cut, dear?
Yes, dear, I certainly did. And Mary, you know something?
Yes, dear?
I am starved. You know, he can really work up an appetite mowing a lawn.
Well, don't worry, dear. We'll eat just as soon as we get to Rock Hill.
Oh, that's swell. I am so hungry, I can... Get to where?
Rock Hill.
Right. Mary, what's Rock Hill got to do with my lunch?
Oh, dear, I forgot to tell you. I thought we'd go on a picnic lunch today.
Oh, all right. For a minute, I thought you... Picnic? Mary, what picnic?
Our picnic. It's such a lovely day, and we haven't been on a picnic this year. And I thought it'd be fun if we all got in the car and had lunch out at Rock Hill.
Oh, fine. We're all going on a picnic, but nobody asked me if I even want to go.
Oh, Fred, I meant to, but I forgot. You don't mind going, do you?
Mary, I certainly do.
Oh, but, dear,
now,
we haven't
first
been...
of all, I'm starved right now. Well, second of all, I see no point in eating out at Rock Hill with the ants and the mosquitoes when I can eat in the comfort of my own dining room. Third of all, you might ask me if I want to go before you make your plans. And fourth of all, as I said, first of all, I'm starved right now.
But, Fred, I can get everything
Mary,
here.
No buts about it. We'll go on a picnic some other time. We are definitely not going to any picnic today.
Well, when does the picnic begin?
Oh, great.
Oh, hiya, Dad. Dad, did Mom tell you about the picnic?
Yes, Archie.
Isn't that a swell idea, Dad?
Yes, Archie.
And I thought of it all by myself.
All right, Archie. So you thought of it all by yourself. We'll give you a gold star. But it so happens, Archie, we are not going on any...
Fred.
Huh?
Fred, can't you see how eager the boy is?
Oh, Mary, that boy is always eager for anything.
Yes, dear, but I told him we could go on a picnic, and he's got his heart all set on it. Now, you're not going to disappoint him, are you?
But, Mary, I'm hungry. Oh, man, what's the use? I can't argue with both of you. If you decided I'm going on a picnic, I might just as well get used to the idea that I'm going on a picnic.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dad. We'll have a swell time. We'll go all
on. All right, yeah. Archie, never mind that right now. Did you find the picnic basket?
Yes, Mom, right here.
Good. Now, Archie, the food's right over there. You put it in the lunch basket. And, Fred, you better change your clothes. Put on a sport shirt and slacks, dear.
All right, dear. But for Pete's sake, hurry up. You know, the sooner I eat, the better I'll like.
Well, Freddy, we'll be ready to leave as soon as you are. Now, Archie, I want you... Oh, dear. Archie, go see who that is.
Okay, Mom. But I sure can't wait to get started on this picnic.
Gee whiz, Betty.
Hello, Archie. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling...
Good. What you doing, huh?
Well, I'm
I thought maybe we could go swimming or something.
Well, I could...
It's a wonderful day for swimming. Don't you think so, Archie?
Yes,
and I just love to go swimming.
Well, Betty,
especially with you.
Betty,
I bet the whole gang will be out at the lake today.
Betty,
we could have loads and loads and loads of fun.
Well, I...
Golly, you're not saying very much, Archie. Is something wrong?
Betty, look.
Are you mad at me?
Betty,
Did I say something I shouldn't have?
Well, I
don't you like me anymore, Archie?
Betty, listen. I like you very much,
oh,
but
golly,
I...
Oh, golly, you do?
Betty, look,
Why, Archie, you haven't said that to me in the longest time.
Well, you don't...
Oh, he likes me.
Betty, look. I like you. I like the day. I like swimming, and I'd like to go swimming with you today, but I can't.
Why not?
Because my folks and I are going on a picnic out at Rock Hill, and we're leaving right away.
Oh.
Well, I'm awful sorry, Betty.
Well, I'm sorry, too.
Maybe we can go swimming some other time.
Archie!
I gotta go now, Betty, but thanks for the invitation.
Oh, that's okay, Archie. Have a nice time at Rock Hill.
Thanks, Betty, I will.
Bye now.
Bye.
Archie, can you run upstairs and get the old tablecloth out of the linen closet, dear? We'll need that to spread on the grass.
Okay, Mom.
Well, I'm all set to go. You ready, dear?
Yes, dear, in just about 2 seconds.
Good. And Mary, you know what?
What?
I've decided that going on a picnic isn't such a bad idea after all. An afternoon with no phone calls, no visitors. Well, it'll do me good.
Yes, dear. A quiet afternoon will be nice.
It sure will. So let's go, and whatever you do, don't tell anyone where we're going.
So Mr. Andrews thinks he's going to spend a nice, quiet afternoon. He seems to have forgotten that Archie is going along. But no matter who goes along on your picnic, here's a great picnic suggestion. Swift's Premium Franks. Perfect for picnics, each pound of plump, delicious Swift's Premium Franks is wrapped in the handy cellophane package that makes them easy to carry and extra fresh. Yes, you can be sure, doubly sure, that Swift's Premium Franks are fresh. For Swift's Premium Franks are made fresh daily in Swift kitchens from coast to coast, then wrapped in the Flavor Saver pack that seals in all the natural goodness of each juicy Frank. Made of all dinner quality meat, Swift's Premium Franks are as rich in nourishment and energizing protein as the most expensive cuts of meat. So ask for them by name, the Franks of all dinner quality meat. Swift's Premium Franks. And now back to Archie and his mother and father. We find them just arriving at Rock Hill, all set for the big picnic.
Well, folks, here we are.
Gee, good old Rock Hill. Oh, it's a long time since we've been out here.
Certainly is. My, isn't it lovely? Just look at the trees and the grass and the hills.
Yes, it's pretty all right. Very pretty. Let's eat.
Fred, we will. But we have to get settled first, don't we?
Well, yes, I suppose so. But I...
Ow! She wears Jughead.
Jughead!
Would you expect Elsie the cow?
Yes, Jughead, I expected to see Elsie the cow before I expected to see you. What in tarnation are you doing here?
Going on a picnic. Gee whiz, you are, Jug? Well, that's funny, so are we. That's the picnic I'm going on. Huh?
Jughead, you mean you knew we were coming out here?
Uh-huh.
And just who told you?
Well, I was...
Archie, did you tell Jughead we were coming out here?
Oh, no, Dad, I certainly did not, did I, Jug?
No,
I... There, you see that?
Well, I still want to know how he...
What's the difference? The boy's here now, and what harm if he joins our picnic?
What harm? What harm? Mary, that boy causes enough trouble when he just visits at our house. Imagine what he can do in a picnic.
Fred, don't be silly. We have enough to eat for everyone, so let's just get settled and start picnicking instead of arguing.
Oh, me. All right, dear. All right. The sooner we eat, the better. Archie, spread out the tablecloth and blanket and...
Fred, you're not going to eat right here, are you?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. We ought to find a nicer spot than this. This is so near the road.
All right, then. Let's go over to that little hill there.
All right, dear. That looks like a lovely spot.
Yeah, but there's poison ivy over there.
Well, let's go over there near the creek.
Yeah, that's a good spot. There's mosquitoes over there. Yeah,
well, let's go over there on that clear piece of ground.
All right, dear.
But there's no shade over there.
Jughead, look. is there any place at all around here that suits you?
Gee whiz, Mr. Enders, I'm just looking out for your comfort. Well, if you want to get poison ivy, I don't care. You want to get bitten by mosquitoes, I don't
Jughead,
care.
Will you?
You want to roast in the sun, I don't
all
care.
All right, Jughead, so you don't care. Will you please be quiet?
Oh, me?
Yes, you. Now, where would you like to have our picnic?
Well, right here's not bad.
Oh, me. That's what I said. We could have decided that 5 minutes ago and been eating by now.
Oh, Fred, we'll eat soon enough. Now, you spread the tablecloth, and Archie, open the suitcase, and we'll get the dishes and cups out.
Okay, Mom.
Jughead, take the other end of this tablecloth.
Oh, boy!
Well, Jug, what's the matter?
A bull!
What?
Right over there! Big bull! Run for your life!
Oh, boy, he's coming this way!
Right here! Fred, what do we do?
Go, run, Ernie! Run like the dickens!
Oh, boy! Oh, go!
Run, Ernie!
Oh, boy! Oh, dear!
Hurry up! Run back for me!
Everybody,
I'm over.
Hey, what
about me? Oh, good grief. Quick, Mary, climb up on the fence. I'll lift you down.
All right, dear.
There, I got you. I got you.
Fred Andrews, did you have to drop me?
Mary, I didn't drop you. I fell. And get off my stomach.
Here, Mom, take my hand. There.
Thank you, dear. Yeah. Oh, Fred, did I hurt you?
Well, you didn't do me any good. Well, the main thing is we're safe here.
Yeah, and a good thing.
Yeah?
Yes, sir. I'd like to see that bull just try and... You... Jughead.
Huh?
Jughead, is that by any chance the bull you saw?
Uh-huh.
Oh, for pity's sake. Jughead, that's only a cow.
A cow?
Yes, Jughead, a big, fat, tired, old, friendly cow.
Gee whiz, Jughead, how the dickens could you mistake that old cow for a bull?
I don't know. I guess I didn't see the faucets.
Jughead.
Oh, Fred. Mary, I told you that boy would give us trouble.
Fred, what's the difference? Getting angry isn't going to help any. It's all over and done with, so let's just forget it and go back to where our things are. There's no harm done.
No harm done? Mary, you think getting half scared to death, running around like a streak of lightning, scrambling over a fence, and then having you fall flat on my stomach is no harm done?
Fred, I said forget it.
Yeah, Dad, come on, let's go back. There's a gate in the fence right here.
Oh, all right, I won't say another word. Open that gate, Archie, and we'll go back.
Okay, Dad.
All right, and be sure you close it after us.
Yes, Dad.
And Jughead, for the rest of the afternoon, if you see anything alive, even if it's just a beetle, you look at it twice before you start screaming it's a bull.
Okay.
Now, Mary, for Pete's sake, let's eat.
In a minute, dear. Finish fixing that tablecloth. And Archie, get the suitcase open.
Okay, Mom.
Jughead, set out those plates and cups and some silverware.
Yes, Mrs. Andrews.
And Archie, hand me the lunch basket. I'll get the food out, and then we can eat.
Good. It's about time we... Oh, me.
Thunder?
Oh, yeah, Mom, it's raining.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Quick, everybody under that tree.
But, Fred, we can't leave all these things here.
All right, everybody grab something, quick.
Oh, boy, it would rain right now.
I got the lunch basket.
I'll take the tablecloth.
I got the blanket.
I got the suitcase.
Now, hurry up now.
All right.
Here's the tree. Now, everybody, get close to the trunk.
Yeah. Oh, but, Fred, we're still getting wet.
Yeah, Dad, maybe we better run for the car.
Not until this rain lets up. Now, quick, I'll hold this blanket over our heads. Everybody get under it like a tent.
Okay.
Here, Mary, get under this.
Yeah, let me under.
Jug,
quick, push it.
Oh, gee, what, you think I
want to
get wet?
All right, you two, stop squabbling. Now, is everybody under the blanket?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Good. Well, we're all right here. Now, we can just stay here until that rain stops.
Yes,
sir. Good thing I thought of this tent idea. Yes, sir. Let it rain. Let it. Oh, good grief.
Gee whiz. It stopped.
For pity's sake.
Gee whiz, it was just a sun shower.
Well, how do you like that? We're all set for a picnic. It rains like crazy. We get soaked to the skin, and now it stops.
Well, Fred, what's the difference? In that sun, we'll dry out in no time.
And we can still have our picnic.
Yes, we can still have our picnic if you don't mind sitting on wet grass.
What?
Mary, you don't think the rain fell only on us, do you? But just look, everything's sopping wet. What kind of a picnic can we have now?
Gee whiz.
Well, Fred, I have an idea.
Huh?
You see that big flat rock over there?
Yes.
Well, we can just put our dishes out on that like a table and put some rocks around it and sit on them, and we'll be even more comfortable than we would have been sitting on the grass.
Well, I don't
know. Oh, sure, Dad. No sense going home now that we're out here.
Oh, all right. We'll go have a picnic on that rock. But the only reason I agree is because I'm so hungry I could
Fred,
eat that
we'll
rock.
Eat in just a minute. Now, boys, bring everything over to that flat rock.
Okay, Mom. Boy, I'm sure glad you thought of that.
Yeah, but I'm sure wet.
Well, Jughead, while Mrs. Andrews and I set out all the things, you and I should go look for some dry wood.
Huh?
Well, we'll build a fire, and that way we'll get dry quicker.
Gee, that's a good idea, too, Dad. Come on, Jug.
Okay. But where are we going to find dry wood after that rain?
Jug, you can find some under a log or bush or tree or something. Now, you go look over there. Archie, you go look over that way.
Okay, Dad. Come on, Jug.
I am.
Now I'm going to sit down for a minute and catch my breath. Wow!
Fred, don't sit on the wet grass.
Oh, I won't, dear. I won't. I'll sit down on this small stone right here. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, Mary, you know, I think this is going to work out after all.
Oh, Fred, what is it?
I don't know, dear, but I could have sworn this stone I'm sitting on just moved.
Fred, don't be silly. How could a stone... Oh, Fred, it's got legs!
Legs?
It's moving! It's moving!
Oh, Mary,
it's got a tail,
I...
Too.
Mary, I...
Fred, do something! Take it away!
Mary, come down off that rock. It's only a turtle!
Get away from here! A turtle?
Yes, dear. Yes, a big old mud turtle. There, you see.
Oh, for pity's sake. Fred Andrews, you scared me half to death sitting on a turtle.
Mary, I don't think the turtle liked it either. But I could have sworn that was a rock. It was lying right there,
hey,
and
Dad,
it looked
look
like...
Look at all the wood I got in the... Gee whiz, look at the turtle.
Yes, Archie, your father thought it was
Oh, gee whiz, isn't it pretty?
Archie, put that turtle down.
I just want to see it, Mom.
Gee whiz, aren't you a pretty little turtle?
Archie, will you stop petting that turtle?
Mom, it's just a nice old turtle. Nothing to be...
Oh,
he bit me! Oh, dear.
No, good grief, it's a snapping turtle.
My finger, make him let go.
Fred, do something.
Get him off me.
Archie,
I use this finger again.
Archie,
I can't go around wearing a turtle.
Archie, oh. Archie, get your finger out of his mouth.
Dad, you'd better talk to the turtle. Oh, my finger. Oh,
Fred,
oh.
Hit him with a stick.
Who, Archie?
No.
Oh.
The turtle.
Oh, all right. Archie, hold out your hand.
Okay, but hurry up.
I will.
No. My wrist. Oh, my wrist.
Oh, good grief, I missed. Archie, hold him out. I'll hit him again.
Oh, no, you don't. You nearly broke my...
Gee whiz.
What happened?
The turtle let go of my finger.
Oh,
for pity's sake.
Archie, is your finger all right?
Oh, sure, Mom. He didn't hurt me. It just felt funny to have him hanging on that way.
Oh, great. Well, anyway. Anyway, he's off your finger now. Now, shoo, turtles.
Scat. Thank goodness that's over. Fred Andrews, the next time you sit down, please look what you're sitting on.
Well, Mary, how can... I mean, I did look, dear. But I thought it was a rock.
Hey, everybody, look at all the wood I got.
Oh, fine, Jughead. That's... Jughead.
Huh?
Jughead, you smell.
Fred.
Well, he does, Mary. Don't you smell it?
Fred, I don't smell a thing.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy, you sure do, Jug.
Jughead, what happened to you?
I had a little argument with a skunk.
The skunk won? And how?
Oh, for pity's sake.
Oh, Jughead, that is absolutely the worst odor I've ever smelled.
Gee whiz, that's a skunk's fault, not mine.
I know it, but can't you go wash or something?
Fred, that won't help. That odor will cling to his clothes for weeks.
Oh, great. Well, Jughead, you'll just have to go stand over there.
But I want
to
stay here.
Jughead,
how would you like to have to stand over there?
Jughead,
I asked the skunk to get me all smelly.
Jughead,
what do you mean, a skunk? You all smell, too.
Jughead, would you please stop arguing with me and go stand over there before I suffocate? We can't have a picnic with a skunk. I mean, with that odor.
What about me? I want to eat, too.
You'll eat, we'll throw you a sandwich. Now, go on, go ahead, just stand over there, way over there.
Gee whiz. Okay, a fine thing.
Ooh.
Fresh air at last.
Fred. You shouldn't have been so harsh with the boy. He couldn't help it.
Mary, I know he couldn't help it, but does that mean I had to smell it? Now, for Pete's sake, let's eat before I starve to death.
All right, Fred, we'll eat right now. Just sit down and try not to pick another turtle.
Yes, dear, and there's no need for sarcasm.
Archie, you sit down, too, and don't sit on the wet grass.
Oh, I won't, Mom. There's a nice little sand hill right here.
Good. Now, Archie, as soon as we get the dishes and cups all laid out, we'll be all set. Fred, would you... Fred, would you... Fred, would you... Archie, what on earth's the matter with you?
Well, I don't know, Mom, but something sure tickles.
Something what?
Tickled.
Well, Archie, what's tickling you?
I don't know, Mom, but I got the itches all over.
Oh, good grief. Mary, look. The boy sat on an anthill.
An anthill?
Gee whiz.
Ants, hundreds of ants.
It feels like there's a few uncles. Oh,
Fred, quick. Help me brush them off.
Oh, he's covered with them. Archie, stop squirming so I can get these ants off you.
Well, get the ants off me and I'll stop squirming.
Oh, Fred, there's a bunch on his back. Kill them.
Dad, she meant kill the ants, not me.
Keep my boy on over there.
I got ants in my pants.
Archie, you mean they've gotten under your clothing?
And how?
Oh, good grief. Well, look, Archie, the only thing to do is to take your clothes off and brush them out.
Take my clothes off? Here?
Well, Archie,
right out in the open?
Archie,
right where a cow or something might see me?
Archie, I didn't mean right out here.
Oh, where did you mean?
Go over there in those bushes. You'll have all the privacy in the world.
Oh, gee, okay, Dad. But I sure didn't expect to get undressed on a picnic.
Oh, Mish. Mary, how do these things happen to us? All I want to do is have a picnic. That's all. Just eat something. But first Jughead, then the rain, then Jughead and the skunk.
Fred, there's no point in your getting all upset over nothing. Oh. I'm sure the worst is over, and as soon as Archie gets the ants out of his clothing, we'll go ahead with a picnic. Now, nothing else is going to happen, dear.
Nothing else could.
Boy, it's sure cold in here without any clothes on.
Archie, never mind the weather report and hurry up. I'm hungry.
Okay, Dad, okay.
Oh, that boy. Mary, sometimes
For
I think...
For pity's sake, look.
What now?
A car just stopped over there.
Oh, fine. That's all we needed. Another bunch of picnickers. Somebody with a dozen kids and a
Fred,
few dogs
it isn't
and
another bunch of picnickers. It's Veronica.
Oh, all right. For a minute. Who?
Veronica.
Mom, did you say Veronica?
Yes, dear, Veronica.
Gee whiz, I'll be right there. I'm almost ready.
Mary, I...
Wait, there's Veronica.
Jughead, we know that.
Hello, Mrs. Andrews.
Hello, dear.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello, Veronica.
Hello, Veronica.
My goodness, Jughead. What are you all doing way over there?
I smell.
What? Jughead had a little trouble with a skunk, Veronica, and we're sort of airing him out.
Oh, I see.
Veronica, if you don't mind my asking, what are you doing out here anyway?
Oh, I heard you folks were having a picnic here at Rock Hill, and so I decided I'd drive out and join you.
I see. Mary, was this picnic of ours front page news, the Gazette, or what? First Jughead, then Veronica.
Fred, what's the difference? Do you want to eat or do you want to play detective?
Eat, by all means.
All right, then.
Yes, hiya, Veronica.
Hello, Archie.
Oh, great.
Hi, y'all, Archie Ken.
Archie,
I'm awful glad to see you, Archie. Do you?
Oh, fine. Archie, didn't you get all the ants out of your clothes?
Sure, Dad.
All right, then stop giggling, and if we're ever going to have a picnic,
dear, look, another car.
What?
Oh, I'm glad we decided to come out to nice, quiet, secluded Rock Hill for a picnic.
Gee whiz, it's Betty.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, dear.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Betty.
Golly, what's Jughead doing way over there?
Well, he met a skunk, and we had to give him the air.
Golly.
Hello, Betty.
Veronica, what are you doing here?
Well, after you told me about the picnic, I decided I'd drive out. Do you mind?
Well, no, of course not. Oh, dear, Fred, the cow again.
Now, Mary, don't get excited.
Well, Dad,
it's just that old cow.
Dad,
again, and she won't hurt you.
Dad,
well, what is it?
There's another cow over here.
Another cow?
My goodness.
Now, don't get excited. Two cows won't...
Here comes another one.
Betty,
Oh, dear.
Mary, please.
Boy, it's another one.
Archie,
where
we're
are they all coming from?
Veronica, somebody cut that gate open.
Archie,
I when I got the water.
Stop it. I thought
please,
I told
a
you
towel
to
on our blanket.
Oh, it's all my fault. Veronica. Mary, please don't. Archie,
Dad, you even scared the cows away.
Yes, and a good thing. Now you listen to me, all of you. This nonsense has gone far enough. Too far, in fact.
So the cows.
Jug, be quiet. Now, I've had just about enough of this. All afternoon we've been running around, moving here, moving there, sitting on hurdles, getting visitors, and chasing cows.
Don't forget the skunk.
I wish I could. Now, Jughead, for the last time, you go stand over there so I can breathe.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
And I don't want a peep out of you two girls.
Yes, Mr. Andrews.
And the same goes for you, Archie, you hear?
Yes, Dad.
And Mary, I don't care if you're set up yet or not, but I want to eat right here and now.
Yes, dear. Archie, hand me the lunch basket and we'll all eat.
Okay, Mom. Here you are.
Thank you, dear. Well, that's funny.
What's funny?
This lunch basket feels awfully light for...
Oh, for pity's sake! We forgot the food!
Forgot the food? Oh, no!
See,
we got
there we go. Little Archie Andrews there for you. Sorry, we forgot to bring in Sugar Sugar by the Archies. We'll do that some other time, maybe. Archie Andrews from 1948. That's going to wrap it for today's Radio Vault. We'll do it again in a week. Brian is waiting in the wings to bring you some good music, so we'll see you in a week. Have a good one.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio.